It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here hours before showtime. A big announcement from Microsoft. You can now pre-order the Duo. What is it, though? Microsoft says it's not a phone. What is it? We'll talk next on Windows Weekly. Windows Weekly comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. Securing every access point in your company doesn't have to be a challenge. LastPass unifies access and authentication to make securing your employees simple and secure, even when they're working remotely. Check out LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 685, recorded Wednesday, August 12th, 2020. It's not a phone. This episode of Windows Weekly is brought to you by Tailor Store. Tailor Store makes high-quality clothing that is fully customizable by you, from the basic essentials to the most high-end details. Tailor Store has you covered. Get 20% off plus free shipping with every purchase through October 31st at taylorstore.com/twit. Use the code TWIT. And by Adobe Sign. Business needs to keep moving, whether people are working together or apart. With Adobe Sign, working remotely actually works. Learn more about what Adobe Sign can do for your business at adobe.com/businessmoves. And by Melissa. Like expired milk, 30% of your customers' data goes bad every year. And that's money down the drain. Visit Melissa's developer portal for free access to data quality APIs, demos, and code samples. Freshen up your sour data today with 1,000 records cleaned free at melissa.com/twit. It's time for Windows Weekly, which we're going to rename to Duo Weekly. Paul Thurrott is here, Thurrott.com. Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com. Each week we join together in holy matrimony to speak of the holy windows. Yes. It's Windows Microsoft time. And I have to say, I will preface my comments, your comments today, with this comment from me, which was, I was on the fence about buying one of them Galaxy Z Fold 2s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can't, the good news is I can't order it till September 1st. And I was really going back and forth. Is it time? Is it ready? The folding screen crease down the middle. Can I handle it? It's so thick. And then all the guesswork was removed this morning.
Wow.
I rose at 6 a.m.
Okay.
Ran to my computer.
Ran to your computer.
I kid you not. Actually, it was 5:45. Ran to my computer. Because sometimes I get up. I don't know. You do this probably, too. You get your phone. You say, did anything happen? Anything happen? Kamala Harris. Okay. What else? The Duo's here! Boing! Ran to my computer. Fired up Firefox. And was immensely disappointed when I pressed that pre-order button and nothing happened.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I think the news went live a little more quickly than they meant.
Well, yeah,
it did.
I thought it was me because, you know,
yeah,
it's not you, it's me.
Right. So you start, you're thinking, well, maybe I go into incognito mode or whatever they call it in Firefox, or
you know what I did?
Some extension.
I downloaded Microsoft Edge.
Sure.
And it worked.
Just so you could order it.
I thought, well, they probably just don't want me to do it in Firefox, so I'm going to get Edge, and it worked. Maybe it was a coincidence that it went live.
Yeah.
Because I was doing it on my phone. I was doing it everywhere. Press the pre-order. Nothing. It didn't. Wow. It didn't even like spin or anything. It just didn't do anything.
So sure. I tried to pre-order it this morning, and I spent about an hour trying, and then I called the Microsoft number for help because it showed I had an order number, but I couldn't actually get it to complete.
Oh.
They couldn't get it to complete either. Oh. So I still haven't ordered it. Because it's tangled up in the system somewhere.
So you know what went through my head, of course, is, oh, my God, this must be so pop. No, it's not that popular.
I know. That's what the woman said to me on the phone. She said, yeah, the woman on the phone goes, this must be because everyone's out there ordering it. I'm like, I don't think that's why, but.
Two choices, 128 gigs and 256, right?
Right.
Right.
I went for the $1,500
whole turkey dinner.
No holds
barred.
Which color did you get?
There's no, yeah. That's one thing. It doesn't have Mystic Bronze. It's the one thing the fold has Mystic Bronze.
No.
But it also doesn't have a crease down the middle. It has, it's two screens.
A hinge.
And I thought maybe we understand this technology a little better than folding screens. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
So, by the way, 100%, this should be more reliable than any folding display device, for sure, right? I think anyone would agree to that.
It's Gorilla Glass.
The problem is, like, if you were to show this to a normal human being, like my wife or somebody, and say, look, here's a fold and here's a Duo, what do you think? And the Duo looks kind of old-fashioned.
Yeah, it's square and...
It's like from the past. It's not from the future, like the fold.
I don't care. If it works, I don't care.
Yeah. No, that's good because it's a productivity device and it's meant to be pragmatic.
It is a phone.
Yes, it is.
And it has a camera.
No. Microsoft has repositioned, right? So in the same way that the Surface Pro is the laptop or was the laptop that could replace your laptop. The tablet that could replace your laptop.
Yep.
This is a device that fits in your pocket.
Right.
It's a phone.
Not a phone.
They even show people making phone calls on it.
No. Oh, yeah. A phone has one screen.
Oh.
This has two. They do both fit your pocket.
They
do both make phone calls. Yeah.
Okay, but even the video that they released ends with a phone call and a woman putting this surprisingly large device to her head.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Still, not a phone. I put kinds of. I put like you could put a banana to your face. That's not a phone.
But if somebody answers it, it would be a phone.
So remember when we first got tips on Andromeda when it was a Windows-based phone, and all the tips kept coming in saying it's a device, it's a pocket-sized device that does telephony, and I'm like, why are they not calling it a phone?
Why? So why? Right. What's the? Is it
actually? Do you want to know?
Because the real
reason
history?
Is the. It's and by the way, I was kind of amazed that Panos really spelled this out because we've talked about this a lot. I think people outside of the company would talk about this. That Surface, the team, and Panos himself are obviously very impressed with their ability to create new form factors. You know.
Yeah.
And I think that the I don't want to call it hubris exactly, but I mean. That mentality is going into this. Like, despite the fact that every other form factor they've tried has not succeeded, they did do it once with the Surface Pro, and they clearly want to do it again. And they're making this bet for some reason on a dual screen device. You know, this is their chance at history.
Actually, I honestly, watching this video, it looks really cool. So we jumped ahead a little bit because I'm so danged excited. Just chronologically speaking. We had heard, you know, they've been talking about this Duo for, it's been a year, hasn't it?
October is when we first saw it last year.
Okay. Although, by the way, Mary Jo just mentioned, what was the device? Andromeda. This is Andromeda V2.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
So, I mean, in some
Andromeda
ways.
Andromeda was supposed to be a Windows phone, that was dual screen device, just like this, right? Exactly like this.
Right.
But then they decided correctly, Windows was the wrong OS to put in a phone because they had tried that a couple times and it didn't work.
Oh, how did that go? I don't remember.
It didn't go that well.
It's a little reassuring to me that, I mean, one of the things that makes this a no-brainer for me to order, even though it is very, very, very expensive, it's $1,400 to $1,500. Is that it? See, there it is. There's it's she's using
it's like
the last
it's like
image,
slamming a floor tile against your head.
Yeah, it's big. that it's not anything. No, it's not new. It's not new. It's new, but it's not new.
Yes,
everything in this exists Android, not a new operating system. The hinge, even they kind of know hinges. They've done hinges.
I'm nervous about this because, to be fair, Surface Pro, that form factor, Microsoft did not invent it. There were devices like that before, but the success of it kind of formalized it as a thing. Obviously, every major PC maker copied the design, et cetera. But Surface Duo, you know, it's launching into a world in which there are folding screen devices, right? And it does seem a little more archaic by comparison. And if you look at Surface Pro and think, well, it did take them three versions, right, to get to the one that actually made a difference. The first two were terrible. but it was the third one that was the tablet that could replace your laptop, and then it exploded, relatively speaking. You know, maybe that's what this is. You know, maybe the real future of this is a more elegant take on this that's a couple of years down the road. And whether that's a folding display device or whatever, I mean, I think they're, you know, they're trying to influence Google in the design of Android. They're, I don't know. What happens when the Galaxy Fold starts tearing again and crumbs get in there and destroy it again? And then people are going to look at this and say, well, who knows? Maybe this makes more sense.
It took the tough decision off my table because it's like
I'm fascinated that you went in this direction.
I look at this.
No, really, I mean it.
I am really surprised you did.
Well, again, it's not a Windows device; it's an Android device.
Right. Right.
Don't take the awesomeness out of it. fair enough. No, you're right. Okay,
It's well understood technology. We're not talking. Mm-hmm. Anything right. that we don't already know, even the screens and everything else. But I love the form factor.
What's the point of this device, right? Remember, you know, Steve Jobs, we wondered if there was something between the phone and the laptop, and they came up with iPad. This thing is kind of positioned in a similar way, right? It's not really a phone, although it does some of that stuff. It's not really a tablet, but it does that stuff. It doesn't have like a keyboard stand or anything. Like, it's not a laptop replacement. Like, what's the market for a productivity-focused device that doesn't have a keyboard? I mean, I know it has a virtual keyboard. I'm just curious. I'm not literally saying, like, I think this is ridiculous. I don't mean like that. It's an open question. I mean, what do you think there is a market for this kind of device?
I don't know. I think it does some things that are fun and interesting. Like, it's kind of cool to have two apps side by side. Yeah. Like, they showed having your Kindle app, which, by the way, Amazon modified to work on the Duo.
Big selling point for me.
Yes, right. Me too.
It's like a book, and you turn the page and it goes this page to that page, and there's a little page turn.
This is a hard one for me as a Windows fan because there are a couple of different ways you can read Kindle books on a Windows PC, but they're terrible. They're all terrible. There's like this old Win32 app that is just archaic looking. There's a Cloud Reader, which is a web-based solution, but it's not, you know, it's fine. It works okay. But yeah, now all of a sudden we go to Android and now we get like an app that actually works, it's a little tough.
What they showed that was cool, and they said Satya Nadella is using it this way. They said on one side he has his Kindle, on the other side he has OneNote. So he can take notes simultaneously while reading something.
Perfect. Exactly.
I want to think about what that really means because we just saw that configuration. One of the screenshots that Leo showed, app on the left, app on the right. The app on the right had the virtual keyboard up. So how are you holding that thing? I mean, one of the pictures had that exact configuration. In other words, the virtual keyboard was on the right screen.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, there it is. Right there.
Right.
So, I mean, is that, can you hold it like that with the weight shifting you to the left? I mean, is that hard?
So what they showed yesterday they had a virtual launch, which was not open to the public, which I think was super weird. What they showed was if you're somebody who is used to typing with one finger on a mobile keyboard, you can hold it that way and use it just with your thumb on your left or your right hand. But if you're someone who's more comfortable with using two thumbs, you can pull up the keyboard and it will span across and you can use two.
Yeah, they've showed a variety of keyboard configurations, including one that I really like, which is you have it sideways, you have it slightly tilted up. It's like a little tiny laptop.
Yeah, tiny laptop.
It is.
Yeah.
And I liked that on the Samsung Galaxy Flip. I thought that was neat. The new Samsung Galaxy Fold does that too, where they a sticky hinge so you could put it at an angle and have it kind of as a weird laptop. I really like.
Sort of feel like what this thing really needs is a DeX type environment where you can dock it.
Yeah.
Yep. Run it on a big screen with a real keyboard and a mouse. And this is something you can carry with you.
Could you do continuum with this? I mean,
well, they don't have it now, but that's what I'm wondering. In other words,
you know what you can use? So, remember last week they showed that new apps experience with your phone, right? So you can actually use your mobile apps from your Android phone on your desktop. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's how you do it, right? Like they showed that in the demos. Okay. They're like, here, if you want to use like Spotify and Uber and all these things on your phone, but you want to have them on your laptop, a bigger screen, you can just use your phone and you can manipulate the apps right on the PC.
Can I
tell
you?
I mean, that's interesting, but it is thus another device. Like it's.
Can I tell you what the big risk for Microsoft is? Mm-hmm. This is a Google device. This is going to be great with Google. I have no.
It comes with a buttload of.
It comes with Google. A ton of Google apps.
It's a Google device. Well, I don't need to use Windows. Now, this is the new Microsoft. They don't care, right?
But it comes longer with range Google apps issue, and Microsoft apps.
Yeah. So the long term problem here is that Microsoft has been working to make a lot of their Office apps work better on big screens. And a big screen could be anything from, both those screens together to a big tablet, like an Android tablet.
Yeah.
And I really believe that if this thing takes off in any meaningful way, that we'll see a Microsoft Android Surface Pro. But those apps, when they become good enough, right? True on the iPad as well. I mean, at some point, you don't need Windows. I mean, this thing.
This could be my computer. This could easily be my computer.
What about a Neo? a larger form factor version of this.
Right. Mm-hmm. Running Windows.
With keyboard and mouse.
Windows 10X.
But running Android,
Yeah.
Why bother?
So how did you learn about this? There was a briefing, right?
Yeah. So they had a briefing yesterday that was just like a closed briefing for press and analysts. It was streamed. I'll show you something funny they sent. So they sent us this box. And I thought when I saw it,
it's a non-working device prototype.
Is in there.
That's exciting. Right. That's really exciting.
So I open it and I'm like, oh man. Oh, and then this is what was inside.
No, it's a USB key. Yeah.
A USB key.
Is it $19.99? I can't remember.
You're not supposed to stick those into. You're not supposed to stick strange USB keys into your computer. I'm sorry.
I was a little scared doing that.
Yeah. That's not
but
okay.
Also, why? Okay, everything about this launch was a why. Why did they send us the images on a USB key?
Right.
Right. Why was the event closed and only available to certain press and not broadcast publicly later?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It could still be. I mean,
we would have streamed
it. It could be at some point.
We would have streamed it. We would have given him a whole big audience. I know.
Yeah. And when Panos talked about it, what he said was, we basically already launched this device in October, and so now we're just giving you the extra details. So there's no need to have a big launch. I'm like,
a lot of extra details. They didn't tell us about the camera.
No, they did not. They didn't tell us about a lot of things in October.
So. Yeah, it's not waterproof. There's no NFC. There's no, what was it?
That's weird. No wireless charging, probably. Charging. Okay.
Yeah.
No 5G. It's a very aggressively.
Yeah, but that's.
Nobody cares about that. Although all the phones coming out from now on will be 5G.
Yeah.
Period. From everybody.
11 megapixel.
I don't know why we have to keep saying this. Not a phone.
11 megapixel camera. That was the one I was like, are you kidding me?
It's one less than everybody else, but that's not bad necessarily.
Also, so Panos was asked about the camera, right? And he said, the main purpose of this device really isn't about photos. And I'm like, yeah, but if you want people to carry this in place of a phone,
that's what you're competing against.
Think they won't. But if your camera's not good.
Photos are job one for every single device that you're competing with right now.
I know.
The specs are okay on the camera. It also does, I guess this is because it's got a Snapdragon, a decent Snapdragon 855. Not the top of the line, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, last year's
Snapdragon. Yeah.
It's actually, if you think about it, three generations old, right? Because wasn't there a plus at the end of last year, then an 865, then an 865 plus? And so we're, that's fine. Save a little money.
That's why there's no 5G. Acceptable. That's the main thing you give up on that.
That's fine. Mm-hmm.
It's fast enough to do 4K 60p out of the camera. That's good. It's only got one camera, but because of the unique form factor, doesn't matter. Flip it over. You take a picture of you. Flip it over. Take a picture of me. Doesn't matter. Right. Which is really kind of interesting about this thing. So it's a 360 degree hinge, right?
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. Right. I think that's cool.
Right. And so the hinge. So, Microsoft Surface team is all about the hinge. That's why I don't think the hinge is going to go away. I don't think they're going to ever do
Well, but
in this family, I don't think they'll do a Galaxy.
No, but hold on. How big are the bezels? Can it feel like one screen?
They're big.
They're big.
You can see the bezel. I'm sorry, but about the hinge. There's incredible hinges inside of the Galaxy devices too.
Oh yeah,
you just don't see them because they're under a screen. Okay. So,
they made a big deal about the hinge on the Galaxy.
Focusing on the hinge is like waving your hands to, you know, so we can ignore the real issue, which is that there are two displays, not one.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be a hinge. It folds.
Right. You know what? The part I am the most interested in. So this has two batteries. There's a battery on both sides. They like built the motherboard themselves, and they built all these custom cables to go across the hinges. And then they talked about the battery life. So they said all day battery life, which can mean anything, right? And then they said, they had some other caveats about it. Like, well, it'll depend on what kind of apps you're running, and it'll depend on this and that. And I'm like, yeah, this is worrying me about the battery life, right? I don't know. I
think the battery life will be okay.
I know. You always like Windows, but laptops too, when it comes to battery life. And I think that they are terrible.
They claim all day battery life. I'll be satisfied if it's that, but it is a small battery. It's smaller than the Fold.
It's two batteries.
Well, together. When you add them together, it's a small battery.
Yeah,
They claim 15.5 hours of local playback.
That's pretty good.
That sounds great, but on Windows laptops, when they claim that, it's never that.
No, but you're going to be streaming something, first of all. And no one's sitting there watching video for 16 hours. That is,
exactly.
I think it'll be fine. I think it's going to be
fine. There are a few questions.
And maybe because it's Android, it'll be better than Windows laptops, because Windows laptops battery is terrible. Terrible.
Android phone, it's a very small battery.
Is it?
3577 milliamp hours is...
What do you want to see, like north of 4,000?
Let me just see. I have this Motorola.
It's using an older processor, right?
It's two screens. Yeah. That's the other concern. You could drive two screens.
One of the battery saving techniques will be to use the single screen.
Mm. Yeah, when it's closed, the screen's probably.
You know, it's like when you're succumbing to like a heat-related thing and your vision's going down, like the screen's getting smaller and smaller.
This $400-$500 Moto Edge is a 4,500 milliamp hour.
Yikes.
And it's
probably last 2 days.
Yeah, it's got great battery life and fast charging over PD. I didn't see PD either in this.
Yeah.
Although it is USB-C.
It does have 18-watt fast charging, 18-watt fast charger out of the box. So it does do fast charging.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's part of the Qualcomm chipset, so.
I bought one because I want to review it.
You sort of bought one.
I don't. Sort of bought one.
But
the reason I bought one, it's not because, if I were just buying it for myself, I wouldn't have bought one. But I want to review it, and I don't think they're going to give me one for review.
If I don't get one for review, there's no way I'm buying this thing. But my question though is just again the use case. I understand the point of a phone. I looking back, like one of the things I thought that was really innovative about Windows Phone was that kind of at a glance thing. You could pick it up and you had live tiles, and it would show you information, and it was enough oftentimes that you didn't have to go into an app. And I thought that was innovative and it was different. This thing, I get. Yes, you can see two apps side by side. Okay, but they're on this little screen. Even on a computer, I'm typically using one thing at a time. Very rarely do I have two things side by side. Today, during the show, I have my notes off to the side. This is one example. If I'm in a virtual briefing, I've got the presentation on one side and one note on the other. That's another one. But by and large, if I'm writing or working, I'm in the app and I app switch. Mm-hmm. You know, I go back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I do that too.
I don't know. I mean, I agree with them. It's hard on a phone to do different things at once. If you call me and said, hey, where's the place we're going? Mm-hmm. I then have to take the phone away from my head, navigate to a different app. I mean, that is hard. I think we can all acknowledge there is some point to this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
Yeah. They talked about a thing called the Microsoft 365 feed, which sounds like kind of an advance on the Android launcher that they make. It'll have all your recently used documents, your appointments, your email, your contacts, and a feed in a single screen so you can see all of that at a glance.
That's exactly
That's going to be part of this device.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it, by the way, and that is kind of a melding of, there are many feeds, you know, Google has a discovery feed and Microsoft has its own feed, on it goes. Mm-hmm. But we've talked about that kind of nice thing you see at office.com or in the Office app on Windows 10, where you get that combination of like app shortcuts and recent documents. You know, it's kind of a dashboard kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's what this will be on the device. But again, you know, on a phone type device, I know it's not a phone, but, you know, a pocketable device.
Yeah.
I just don't know that I need that.
I know. I want to see, I want to try using it and see if it does change how I think about using the device. Because when you don't have it in front of you and you're not actually using it day to day, you're like, I'd never do that. But then if you have it in front of you and you can open up the screen to 8.1 inches and you're like, maybe it will change how I would use a mobile device.
Well, that compared to the experience of, you know, you had a Surface Go and for, sometimes you take that instead of a full laptop. Was that enough or not? And how does this compare to that experience? You know, is this, if you just, like someone emails you and says, hey, Mary Jo, by the way, there's a typo in this article and you want to go to the interface for the website and fix that thing. Is this will probably be enough. I mean, probably that would work for that. Are you going to sit there totally and type an article? Probably not.
No. Not, I can't. I know. But I bet there are people who could. So, you know, during the launch, Panos, he said a lot of the same things that we've heard him say many times. You know, it's all about empowering people to achieve more, blah, blah, blah. Also, they repeated the idea that having two screens connected by a hinge somehow affects your brain magically to be more productive. And I still have a problem with that whole argument.
Oh, that's because you understand science. You know, I take great exception to. I will
they
say
keep
that
talking about
public,
that. Yeah.
I know that is nonsense. The notion that there is a use case for two apps side by side, like there we just said, absolutely true. That I think they need to stick to that part of it.
Me too. This is I not think that's a more convincing
fire something
argument.
In your brain and make you more creative. It's I'm sorry.
No, and you know what? You know what they
it's
cite as the example.
Is
so they say, you know, a lot of people use two monitors. Doesn't that prove that people find two screens more productive?
A lot of
that's
people don't use
thing.
Two monitors. It's not. It's not
and
even
it's
true.
It's also not the same thing.
The vast majority of people use a monitor.
But even if even then, it's still not the same thing.
It's not the same.
Even then, I use three monitors. It's not the same thing. I grant you.
Because, you know, when you sit in front of a computer, it's keyboard, mouse, and you're doing stuff. You're working. You know, it's like the it was that terrible Hugh Jackman movie where he was like the hacker and he's sliding his chair between all the screens and whatever the hell that was. It was a stupid movie. But like, you know, a phone is, or, you know, when you have a device of this size, iPad mini or smaller, you know, it's different. Just the screen size changes your approach to the device. You know, you're not going to sit there. I'm not going to sit there and type an article on it. I mean, this is not the same kind of, you could do some work. You could answer emails and, you know, whatever. You can read, which is, I'm sure it's great for that. But it's a different kind of device.
Yeah. They talked about, he talked again about staying in your flow. That came up a lot. You know, the reason they want to do this is so people can react more quickly and get things done more quickly and then go on their merry way and play Xbox or whatever, right? Oh, and you can play Xbox games on this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Now, what will it spread? See, I really want to see it take up the whole thing, even though there'll be a bezel. It will. Because, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to get the Fold, this is stupid, but I used to, in fact, I should bring it in. I carried for years a chess wallet, which is roughly the size and shape of one of these things. You open it up and it's not digital. It's actually a chess board with little pieces. Oh. Chess players used to, in the old days, all chess players would carry these. And you can do, you know, play through games while you're sitting on the train or whatever. This would be such a great device for that.
You know what this reminds me of is back in the day when Windows CE was still kind of a new thing, the early generation devices were, it was basically, if you imagine like a mobile keyboard, but then you flip up and the screen was like the same aspect ratio as the keyboard. So there was, well, there must have been some pointing device, but maybe it was just touchscreen. I don't remember, but I always wanted to be able to use something like that. I was always really jealous of people because you see journalists at CES or Convex or whatever.
Yeah.
They'd flip like, Jerry Purnell carried one of these for a little while. You open this little thing, typing away on this little device. I was like, man, I'd love to be able to use something like that. But I have huge hands and I have bad vision, and it just never made any sense. And then there were later things like the Libretto. Remember that Toshiba device? It was also a tiny PC. And then the OXO or whatever the thing was, the little same thing, tiny Windows XP PC. And I've always, you know, I've always wanted to make something like that work, and it just never did for me. Yeah. And this device, for this to work for me, I would need an external keyboard and a mouse. And then you get into this thing and then a stand. And like I said, you could pop it up. But I mean, you get into a situation where you're carrying around a bag full of dongles and cables and stands and stuff. And it's like, bring a laptop. You know, so I don't know. I'd like to make it work, but I just don't. I have a hard time seeing the use case.
I know. Me too. It's definitely not for getting the kind of work we do done. That's for PCs, right?
For me, it feels like this is, I'm going to come up with new ways to use this. It is not an analog to my PC or a phone.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It is a, well, and there you go. a new thing.
They're trying to invent something.
They're trying to make a new category.
The iPad was something new too. This is, I think, going to be very useful, but we'll have to see.
They're relying on you.
They need a name for this category though, right? What is it?
It's a tweener device. So it is, like I said, it's like the iPad. You kind of present it and you say, look, this is a thing that if it works, it could take the place of two devices. And those two devices in this case are a phone and a tablet, right? If it works, you could just have this one thing instead of those two things. Now, most people don't have those two things because now we have big phones and we don't really need tablets. So I don't know. I mean, there's that Dex thing I mentioned, which is just a fantasy in my brain right now. What they would say today to running Windows apps is, you know, Windows Virtual Desktop. And
I mean, what about your phone in reverse?
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah. That was kind of Continuum in a way, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, Continuum was literally, it was a Windows phone or mobile, whatever it's Windows Mobile or whatever it was at the time. But you know, it supported this desktop environment. Yeah. And those apps, you remember the Microsoft mobile apps that you could get on Windows 10, would work in kind of a portrait phone orientation. But if it was in this Continuum mode, you would get something that looks sort of like, you know, like Real Word or Real Excel. It wasn't really, but it was, you know, it's that screen size and aspect ratio. Mm-hmm. You know, the Android apps are going to do that and are doing it already. So that's the question. And that's kind of, maybe it's not a problem, but if Microsoft evolves the apps well enough, as they have kind of on iPad as well, a lot of people won't need a Windows PC, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe that, by the way, it's not necessarily a problem. It's not another way to get.
This is where Microsoft's headed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't put this in the notes, but there was a great GeekWire article that looked at Microsoft.
I added it to the notes. Yeah.
One of the things that's fascinating about that is it tells you the revenues of each of Microsoft's major product lines for the past fiscal year. And Windows, I think, was maybe somewhere in like third place maybe or something. But the cloud was huge, number one. Microsoft 365 was number two. And that makes sense because Office just by itself surpassed Windows many years ago. And if you think about Microsoft 365 as kind of the logical successor, superset of Office, it's much more important to Microsoft, right? They don't care how you get to it. As long as you're paying for it, right?
Yeah.
You could use it. Web, you could use it from a PC, a Mac, you could use it from a mobile device. You know, it doesn't matter.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how this will work. Like if you have a Google app open on the left and a Microsoft app on the right, and can you actually pull things across and share and like do things that like make those two interact?
Yes. I mean, you have to, Android has built in support. The dual screen thing that's the Duo comes from Google. It doesn't come from Microsoft. It's part of Android.
Yeah.
So anything where you can select something and drag it over or just select something, cut and you know, copy, cut and paste, that's built into Android. So, yeah, there's no reason that can't work.
Yep.
You're trying to talk me out. You're trying to harsh my mellow, but I got to say.
I'm excited by this. We're people who've been burned so many times by being enthusiasts.
I'm an idiot. I don't have any memory of being burned. What is this burn you've talked about? I've just bought crap that I've
got. Has Apple burned you in any way?
Oh, yeah.
It's like that.
I've had bad products, but I don't consider that burned. I actually think I said this when they talked about the two screen. I think you want companies to at least try stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I mean, I like this Motorola Edge, but it is in no way anything different from and it's something everybody else makes. It's a phone. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, in other words, what you're really looking at here is the idea of something different. Right? I do too. But here's the problem. If you just like simply stated, They didn't come. This was the kind of the problem with the iPad. You know, remember the original justification? We wondered if there was a thing that could sit in the middle. And you're like, oh, you wondered? What do you?
It didn't.
Like it was kind of a soft rationale, right?
Yeah.
So with this thing, they're literally saying, "We can't wait to see what you guys do with it." They have. They never came out and said, "Look, here are the five scenarios that make total sense. Everyone will benefit from, and we are making our apps work this way because this makes total sense." All they've got basically is like, look, if you use Outlook, you can have an email message list over here and one email message on the right, and that app works that way. That's cool. You could drag something from an email into a calendar invite maybe in Outlook. Mm-hmm. You could have Word on one screen. You could have Excel on the other, and you can drag and drop. And yes, I mean, that's it's all very obvious. But couldn't you do that on a big – I mean, does it have to be two screens? I mean, wouldn't that just work if you could split the screen? Of course it does today. We just don't really have those devices.
I like, though, the idea of this hinge and the two screens, so it could...
Well, you just... I like
think you do, huh?
Bass. You just, like, got nailed right there, and you're just reeling you in. I like the hinge. You're like, I saw something shiny in the water. I'm starving.
I look at it, and I feel like they could have something there.
Yeah.
I look at the various prototype uses that they have on the screen, and I think, you know, I think I might want to do that.
Do you think you'd use a pen with it or no?
No, I mean, the good news is it works with all your existing pens. So
it does.
I have plenty of pens around.
Some people will.
Yeah. So
I think this is a V3 thing. We forget because it's been so long. But first gen Surface, right? 16x9 screen. It had that. They thought the thing that was going to take off was that flat keyboard cover that just had a virtual keyboard built into the cover. They thought that was going to take off, right? So it took a few revs. They went 3x2. They refined the form factor. They had finally got really good keyboard and trackpad, and it became the tablet that can replace your laptop. I think this thing needs that kind of refining.
I mean, two screen having. I don't, the use where this icon's all the way across, that's not good. But having two apps, we've seen that on Android phones before, but we haven't had this much real estate. And I honestly, maybe I am Kool-Aid drinking now, but I honestly think the hinge actually is helpful in that regard. It looks like two different apps, not a screen I've split.
Okay.
And there's just something psychologically I like.
Would you say it sparks creativity?
I think it sparks.
He's going to say magical any second. I'm gearing up for it.
I do want to, in my defense, point out that before the show, I said, I'm not going to say this on the show, but is Panos Panay getting a little creepy? There's the enthusiasm he shows is a little, for everything, is I think maybe starting to wear. It's like, come on, dude. It's
a little forced.
He's pumped.
Yeah, a little. That's a little too much.
he was a little more. I felt like he was more subdued during yesterday's launch. I mean, he still was about the passion and the flow and all that kind of stuff. But he also, I felt like, was a little more like down to earth. And maybe it was because it was a virtual event and he wasn't like on stage. I don't know. But
we are in the middle of a pandemic.
We are.
I'm pumped. You know, within reason. Given what's going on in the world.
As much as you can be pumped. Yeah.
Quoting Tom Warren from yesterday's event, it's probably one of the sexiest devices we've ever built. I can hear Panos Panay's voice in my head when I read that line.
You know what that reminds me of? I saw a sign. I can't remember what city it was in. Somewhere in Europe. It said, I think it was in Stockholm. It said, probably the second best pizza in the city.
It might be. Some say.
And I was like,
I've heard it said.
I'm not a big fan of marketing, but I think you got to just nail that one down. You know,
when you're talking pizza, it's fine to say you're the best, but
probably
one of the sexiest
devices.
Probably
the second best.
He says also, it does things that single screen devices can't do, period. Yeah, like fold in half. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll grant you.
Was that followed by a list of things that it could do that single screen devices can't?
He says when they're talking about Android apps, any app has to run.
Right, and it does. They said everything in the Play Store will run, even if the developer doesn't do anything to it, it'll run.
By the way, I just want to point out that alone is kind of an amazing thing because one of the problems Microsoft has had with these things that are not quite Windows on devices that are not quite PCs is that every app didn't run. Right?
Yeah.
And you buy this thing that looks like Windows and you're like, what the hell is going on? I can't put Firefox on here or whatever the problem was at the time. And this thing, it is an Android device, and it does run Android apps. I mean, I know that sounds semi-obvious, but it's a big deal.
It has solved a thing that has plagued Android tablets, which is that Android apps on tablets, they just don't adapt. And so it's a bad experience. When people say, I'm going to buy an Android tablet, I say, just don't. Buy an iPad. The apps fit the iPad. On Android, you're just a lot of times you got an app, a phone app in the middle of a big screen. They've solved that in a way because now you've got two phone size screens and it's going to fit one screen. So you don't have this mismatch. So what's weird is it's a tablet, but it's not a tablet. I feel like Android apps will actually be better on this than they would be on a tablet.
If they support, So there's two things going on here. There's the Android phone form factor, the portrait form factor. Everyone supports that. If you run Android apps on Chrome OS, you know that oftentimes apps will run in this little portrait size window. It's kind of goofy. So good Android apps, and there aren't that many, not compared
that's
to iOS,
problem.
But good ones.
Yeah.
Well, you can stretch them out and they turn into like tablet apps, and that's great. And so Microsoft for itself is partnering with Samsung, right? And they're adapting Outlook and their other apps to run well in that form factor, and that's cool. Mm-hmm. And that works on this device too, right? When you run it as a single screen with a crease in the middle. But there's the third form factor is the two-screen thing, and that's when you have apps, and Outlook is an example of this, where you actually have two windows of the same app showing different views, and you can drag and drop or do whatever
that's
between them.
That's what the Kindle is going to do, for instance. I don't expect a lot of apps to do that. I understand that.
No, but this is so necessary for the ecosystem. Just for Android, it's necessary. Yeah. The iPad is killing them because so few apps comparatively work well in that form factor,
Android tablets have been out forever. Google used to make them and finally said, oh, screw it. No one's going along with the ride. So that's been a big problem on Android that will, I think, never be solved. So what do? They have two these screens are the size of an Android phone, each individual. Yeah. So worst case, this thing's going to run on one screen and look normal. And I know there will be initially very few apps that will do this spreading out thing. And honestly, it's not a big this is an ecosystem with literally 1.5 to 2 billion phones in it. So the 100,000 units that Microsoft's going to sell on this are not going to drive developers to go, my God, we've got to make the two screen version. So I don't expect that to happen.
But what if they inspire other hardware makers to do this as they did with Surface Pro? Right. And this is I think the hope, really, because Android as a platform needs this. It needs these dual screen experiences to work and be seamless, and it still needs the tablet thing to work too. By the way,
if my chess app doesn't spread across both screens, I'm going to be disappointed. It should. Well, I don't know
because it will seem like a landscape mode, single device to the app. I think
if the app thinks it's a tablet and there's a tablet mode, maybe it will. Yeah. But then there's the tent mode. So they're showing a video and it's only on one screen. Mm-hmm. And this HBO Max app does not have to be adapted at all because it's just running on a normal portrait mode screen. Mm-hmm. But then here's a Pinterest app that's smart enough to say top half. By the way, this is the fold. This is above the fold.
It's kind of hard to say because if you scroll that thing, wouldn't it just? I bet that's treating it like a single screen.
Who knows what they did? They might. Yeah. Who knows? It's hard. But that's fine. Actually, that's what I would expect. If I scroll, that picture goes to the top. Just a long screen. That's okay.
You could at one point have an image cut in half by the.
Yeah.
By the fold or whatever.
I think you do. Yeah. This image is cut.
I think you would. Oh, there's one right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
Not to me a big deal. I think a lot of people who have this will end up not seeing that hinge, that bezel for after a few weeks.
I don't see the notch anymore on my phone.
No, you get used to it.
And you have a Bugs Bunny notch on your phone, too. That's as big as notches are.
I do. I never notice it.
This is interesting. You called attention to this, Paul, where you have this is a normal Android Messages with a normal size keyboard and then a completely separate app, Yelp running on the left or whatever. Open Table, I guess it is. So I think that's an interesting use as well, right? Hey, look, I got a reservation. I'm texting it out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Look at this one. This is Adobe Sign, one of our sponsors. The document on the left, the signature field on the right. Full size, so I can use my pen.
And they have that carpenter's pen, whatever they're calling it, the Surface Pro X.
Surface Slim.
Look how big the phone, the pen and the phone. I mean,
that's the
small one.
Yeah, well, it's flat.
So where
it's,
do you put the pen? It just sticks to the side, right?
Put it in your pocket. Does it stick?
Yeah, you put it in your pocket.
I don't think it does. Does it even stick?
Magnetic?
I bet it doesn't stick.
You bet it doesn't stick?
Wow, that's interesting.
Because they didn't really show where the pen went.
This game does not have to be adapted because it fits.
It's just a, it looks like a phone. It's a phone.
By the way, that's the signs of your Nintendo 3DS screen. That's completely legitimate. And if it gets smart, it could put controls down on the second screen. I mean, it could, but it doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I think it seems like this is a form factor that's going to be, it's going to make sense to the people who use it. I don't, this looks like, wouldn't you want to bring this on a plane someday? You'll fly again. And this seems like it'd be great on a plane instead of a laptop. No,
it depends on the battery.
Battery's going to be key.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, we saw them in October.
They looked cool. Yeah. They were thin. Yeah. You could fold them. People were putting them in their jeans pocket.
Yeah. I still have the same questions. You know,
thin is not the word you'd use about the Galaxy Fold. It's like a it's like a ham sandwich in your pocket.
Yep.
Does the hinge? I think it does. Right, the hinge is static, so you can have it any angle you want, right? Or is it floppy?
You
can't. No, you can't.
No,
I think
you can have it on any angle you want.
Stuff's good.
That's important. Sure go. Yeah. That's pretty important, I think.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it.
No, they even kind of brought in the COVID idea of, you know, when you want to show people stuff on your phone, but you don't want to hand them your phone because you don't want them touching
interesting.
It. So you put it down on the table or whatever, and it can be in temp mode, or it can be in that little mini laptop mode, and you can say, see, there's my pictures right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're sitting across from you.
Yeah.
It's going to kind of depend on how big it is. This is the thing we can't really judge.
Right.
Right.
But you guys can. You've touched at a prototype, right, or no?
Well, we saw them in October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the 360-degree hinge. I think that's because then you can tent it. This is a this is a tiny two-in-one is what it is. But instead of a keyboard, it's got a second screen.
You know what I would love somebody to make? This is going to sound so old school, but you know how on the is it on the Surface Pro X where you can have this overlay keyboard that's actually a physical keyboard that sits on top of it? Like
no, that was
somehow,
the Neo. It was the Neo.
Oh,
I want that for this.
Yeah,
I want
like
a slide-on
keyboard. But
yeah,
the bottom.
Yeah, like a real keyboard.
This has a fingerprint reader. Is it on the on-off switch?
So, I don't know where it is. I was wondering.
Yeah,
the
I don't
same
know where
thing.
It is either. Yeah,
I was actually surprised to see that listed in the the specs. I don't know where it is.
I don't know where it is either. Yeah,
it's not on screen. I'm going to guess it's and we've
it's
seen
on
this,
the power button.
That it's
probably.
On the power button. That's a lot of phones do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It looks like a little cute little mini Surface. Like a little Surface laptop. Just a little.
They do have a trade-in program, by the way. If you have existing phones or even tablets that you want to put towards the
purchase
price.
Could I trade in like five previous Surface devices so I could afford just to get it?
I think you should try that.
700, yeah, up to 700 cash back.
Up to 700, yep.
I wonder if they'll take my Galaxy Fold.
I think they would be happy to take it.
I ain't buying. Yeah, there's a Galaxy. I ain't buying. I've decided not to buy the Fold. I'm just buying this. I can't afford to do both.
I'm blown away by this.
I think this is going to be better. It's certainly not going to have the physical issues that the Fold might have of the folding screen and all that. And I think what's cool, if you think about it, the Fold, which is also Android, there will be apps which won't use the screen. But on and you mind that on the Fold because it's one screen but only half used. On this, it's designed to shunt the apps. Again, quoting Panos Panay, there's an algorithm in there that's very smart and trying to be predictive. If you're on one screen and you're invoking a link, it will fill the other. So somehow they're intercepting these calls and saying, hey, there's two screens here. Why don't you put that on that screen?
Right, right. It needs to be popular enough to support, you know, for that to happen.
Yeah. No headphone jack, right?
No, they'll sell you a little dongle if you want.
It works with the Surface earbuds.
I ain't buying those. It'll work with any Bluetooth earbuds, I'm sure.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
Okay, so the only... Can I tell you the one thing that scared me?
Yeah.
It comes with a bumper.
Yep. Right.
What the hell is that for? And why does it need one?
It's a good question.
Right. So I think, Tom had a theory. He said it covers up some of the bezel, so it makes it look like you see less bezel.
Oh.
But I also think it's meant to protect it, right? And protect the edges of your screen.
You're not going to get a case for this. So.
Right. And you wouldn't want a case on this, right?
Yeah.
Why do we need a bumper on this?
Well, that's
why.
That's what caused concern is like, you know.
I mean, I don't know. Is this made of magnesium? I'm not even sure. I assume it is.
It's made of a special alloy. Yeah, they talked about that. Some kind of alloy.
If
it's some kind of aluminum, I mean, I suppose it could
be scratched. To build a special alloy 200 millimeters thin for the cables, they said. But they talked about building like all these custom components and materials. So,
Quicka in the chat room has a good theory. People will snap it shut, you know. That's it. I'm done. Boom. And then the screen will go with the bumper.
Or sit on it in their jean pocket, maybe.
Yeah, the bumper might be necessary so you don't slam it.
Okay.
Maybe. That would kind of make sense.
Yeah.
So the bumper catches the closure.
It's early days, as Microsoft loves to say, on this. It's a journey. This device is part of a journey. And, you know,
here's the most
version one, it's going to be.
Here's the most Panay-ish of the Panays. I wish I could do this in his voice.
We got more Panay coming later, Leo.
More Panay to come.
We do. Yep.
Microsoft has to light up every platform. We had a conversation with Google. The partnership has been crazy fun. I think at first there's a little bit of getting to know each other. Sounds like the crazy part. Then very quickly we saw what's right for our customer and what can be possible. Not Google. I don't know what Google saw. I think it's great for Google and Android, and I think it's great for Microsoft. That sentence covers a lot of territory of, like, at first Google said, screw you. What are you doing? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, the reason this came up is when they announced this device in the fall, I remember Paul and I were sitting there, and we were talking to Chris Capasella, and we're like, so you guys said you have a partnership with Google for this. What do you mean? And he's like, you know, we're just another Android OEM. That's what he said.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Right. Yeah. God bless you.
Yeah.
That's
I love people who cut through the crap, you know?
It's funny because he's the marketing guy. But
I know.
Yeah. At some point, that's why hyperbole doesn't serve you. You got to be just straight.
Yeah.
No, he's a straight shooter. That's why he's great.
No, and Google's happy to have Microsoft be an OEM. Of course they are, right?
So you got to remember. So I think it was the previous version of Android, I think, is when they first started this dual screen stuff. And they did it to support what are now like folding display devices. But Microsoft's coming to market with an actual folding or a two-screen device. So to date, I mean, the stuff that's built into Android 10 now that that is the version. It's Android 10. The stuff that's built into Android 10 is what they're using. But Panos Panay said that they were working with Google probably in the same role as any OEM. To help drive the direction of future versions of Android where support for multiple screens, folding screens, et cetera, will be improved.
No surprise, but that was put into the last version of Android, Android 9, for Samsung's benefit. But
I think that's what I'm sorry, that's what I meant.
Absolute support for dual screen in Android in the current version of Android. So, of course, Microsoft now as another, and you know, maybe they'll sell a lot of these, and as another partner. We'll get to say, as Samsung does, hey, it'd be really nice if this did that and that did this.
It really helps the ecosystem for the to be more devices. It just behooves app developers to pay attention to it because otherwise they'll just ignore it. You know,
I hope so. That's always, you know, even Apple, frequently Apple's doing it right now with iOS 14, will announce a new feature and developers drag their feet or don't in fact respond at all and the feature just withers away. Apple's got taken a little gamble, I think, with iOS 14 and widgets, Android-style widgets. And for this to make any sense at all, developers have to jump on.
Third parties have to support. I think they will support that. But, you know, we just talked about the problem with Android tablets. And Apple developers, by and large, I mean, are more, you know, willing to go along with what Apple wants than Android developers have proven. I mean, it's a really big problem on Android.
But that was my point, is even Apple with a billion devices and its consistency has a hard time sometimes getting features.
Yeah. Implemented. I mean, those widgets didn't take off in any meaningful way because they were hidden on the side screen. And now by putting them on the homepage, right. I'm sure the goal is let's get people to support this, you know, and I bet they do, by the way, but.
So the specs are kind of interesting. It is surprisingly thin. You know, when I look at the Samsung Fold, I really say, gosh, I have to gear up for that. That's why I've been carrying a wallet case to kind of gear up for a big, thick thing. This each screen is less than 5 millimeters thick. Together, it's 10 millimeters, which is less than the iPad together.
Interesting. So, okay. I was curious. They were really proud of the thinness of this device.
That's really thin, 10 millimeters.
It is really. Okay. Well. They claim it is the thinnest mobile device in the market today.
Well, it's not thinner than some phones, but it's...
Well, I took exception to that comment.
They said that, right? Yeah.
It's definitely the thinnest Surface device, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's 10 millimeters is remarkable. It means I could put it in a pocket. I'm concerned about the size because it is a little tubby. It's not
like a 21.9 screen. It's a
3.2.
Yeah, it's 4x3, isn't it?
Or it's 3.2 when you open it up. 3.2. Yeah.
Okay. So, but I think closed it might be.
It's 4x3, I think.
I think it's 4x3 for some reason.
1800x1350.
Yeah.
And there's two of them. And then, and then both AMOLED, which is nice. 401 pixels per inch. Nice.
That's good.
Well, I think these are going to be. And the Gorilla Glass, I think.
What about this launcher they have, though? Are there any? I mean, the launcher seems really plain to me.
Do I have to use their launcher? I wonder. I guess I would.
Because it supports two screens. I mean, you'll have to wait until there's a version, you know, a third-party one that supports it.
Well, that problem, that's an interesting question. So there's one area where there's a lot of development on Android is launchers. There's a lot of launchers. They're very quick to respond to new Android features. So I would not at all be surprised to see a variety of launchers pretty quickly. This is okay. I mean, it's a launcher. You got your widgets on the left. Presumably, those are customizable.
It's clearly. I don't know. This is for launch. This is pretty plain looking.
What do you want? Do you want fluent design and stuff like that?
Yeah, I want fluent design. No, I don't know. Look at some. I mean, look at whatever you think of Samsung.
You want to see plain? It's just like the iPad.
It is plain, I look at something like One UI and what they've done there.
iPad's the same. You got widgets. You got a dock. You got icons. You can't change that. You can't even put these widgets over here. It's just the way it is.
Right. Well, iPad OS 15 will solve that, Leo, but yes. Yes, for sure.
But this is a much bigger device. I expect the phone to be like this big, you know, just kind of half of it maybe.
Yep.
But what's interesting, it won't be any thicker. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Live tiles would be very nice on this. Gregory, you're right. Gregory Newman on our chat room. Wouldn't it be nice to have Windows phone?
Yeah, but yes. Well, first, yes, of course. But I mean, we do have widgets in the Android world, whatever they're called. What are they called? Those things you put, they're called widgets, right?
Yeah, widgets.
Yeah, widgets. So, you know, again, they're not great. I mean, there's kind of like a stock set you get as the weather and time one, and that's pretty much all people use. But you could, you know, you could use widgets if you want.
People are trying to do live tiles for Android, I think. This might spur that along a little bit more.
Mm. Right.
Wouldn't it? I mean, so Microsoft, which traditionally is an operating system manufacturer that works with OEMs to make hardware, now has completely flipped it on its head. They're a hardware manufacturer that's working with Google, the operating system manufacturer. Is this the first time that's happened? Is this the first Microsoft device not to run a Microsoft OS?
Yes, it is, right? Unless, did Danger run a Microsoft operating system when we had the Sidekick thing?
No. Microsoft had a Sidekick?
Well, they bought Danger. Remember that?
No, I think
not
that
really.
Was Danger Andy Rubin? Was that the company?
Yeah, and it was. Yes,
that probably ran. I guess. Android didn't exist. I'm sure it was the Kin.
Whose OS was the Kin or the Kin? I mean,
oh, the Kin. That was Microsoft. That was Microsoft.
That was theirs.
They sort of called it Windows Phone after the fact, but it was not.
Yeah.
This is basically the first non-Microsoft OS hardware, which is stunning. I mean, we haven't mentioned that at all, but this is how far this company has come. This is yeah. very different.
I think there's going to be more. Need to think about it, though, you shouldn't think about it as Microsoft is making hardware running someone else's OS. I think Microsoft is making a device that puts Microsoft 365 front and center, right? Yeah, so all the Office apps, that's why they're doing it. Like, it's because those things are what's making the most money for them, and they want to push Office and Teams and, you know, Outlook.
Ironically.
And so the best way to do it is this.
I doubt I'll use Microsoft apps on this. I'm going to be perfectly happy with Google Docs.
And- yeah. You can do it.
Oh,
you
yeah,
want.
You could do that if you wanted to. But
yeah,
look, this kind of gets rid of the stuff that doesn't matter to Microsoft. You're going to use like a Google Play Store app to play videos or whatever it is. You're going to, you know, use your audiobook app. You're going to use your podcast, whatever. Microsoft want, you know, they're worried about the productivity stuff. And so it's chock full of all that stuff. And I mean, they're going to be enthusiasts who buy it. Yeah, you could run Google Docs on it. But this is going to be bought by businesses. It's going to be bought by Microsoft guys. These people are going to be running Microsoft services. So it's good. It's honestly, it's stronger as a device than a Windows Phone device would have been. I mean, because you were kind of locked into their terrible ecosystem. The problem there was apps. There is no apps problem here. You know, all the apps are there. So,
I mean, the way I use my Pixel is I don't run any Google apps except Maps, I think, and search maybe. But I use everything else on there that is Microsoft app apps.
And the, you know, messages app or whatever. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's most maps. And, what else? I read Google News sometimes when I'm stuck in line or something, but I'm not. Yeah, I use a lot of Microsoft apps. You know, Outlook, Skype, Teams, OneNote.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I'd expect you guys to do it.
Yeah, we're Microsoft goons. But I mean, you know, that's but that's the point of Android.
But I think there are other people who, like, you want. Businesses. Right.
Yeah, maybe.
Businesses who are all in on Microsoft's ecosystem at work.
Ironically, as a business device. This as an enthusiast device.
It very much is a business device.
Really?
It's a total business device.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're even selling it through the Surface through Business program and through resellers to businesses. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a business. I ain't buying this for my employees.
Yeah. It's an expensive device. I mean,
so what's the use case? Like, what's the point?
I don't see this. As being interesting to businesses at all.
Yeah, interesting. Mm. Yeah.
I see this as being totally a fanboy product, an enthusiast product.
But you know what? Remember, the iPhone was so successful, and it was a consumer device, job one, that CEOs started demanding that they get it, and their IT staff would, you don't understand, we can't manage. He's like, you don't understand, I don't care, I want an iPhone. You know, and they kind of got into the enterprise through the back door that way.
Yeah, BYOD,
you know, if this thing is successful, Microsoft could do that in reverse, you know? It's like, here's this device, it's Microsoft's strength. It should target productivity. They screwed that up with Windows Phone 7. Maybe they go through the back door with consumers. But consumers see this and like, I like this form factor. I honestly want something like this.
That's who is going to buy this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
businesses are conservative. Businesses
they are going to sell it at Best Buy, you know.
Businesses are not going to be taking a chance on a brand new platform. Did they run out and buy iPads?
Right. I mean, the reason I say it's a business device is it's a productivity device.
No, I understand Microsoft's position.
That's what I
that way, but
yeah. That's what I mean. I don't mean like our business is going to go buy this en masse for like thousands of people. No, because it's generation
maybe
one.
Maybe the CEO.
Right? The CEO would love to have this, right, to show off.
It's certainly a CEO
around.
Device.
He just wants they want to be on like an Amtrak or a plane or something whenever we can travel again, just so people see him using it and then ask him about it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's that kind of thing.
But in a way, they're also an enthusiast market, right? That's not a big market.
They want one woman
at the top. It's not.
Influencers.
Yeah, it's not.
Is that virtual reality?
Maybe we'll buy it for the board of directors. Yeah. Okay,
awesome.
So we'll sell 12. I could see it as a dashboard device. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it is a productivity device. I don't know. I know that's what Microsoft wants it to be.
I think it's if you look at how Microsoft thinks about consumers these days, they think about consumers as prosumers, right? They're targeting consumers, but people who care about using things like To-Do, right? Like they care about productivity apps and not so much like fun apps other than gaming.
I want to make phone calls, but I want to do it with two screens. Do you have a device like that?
Exactly.
Have they, and this is the enthusiast speaking, Have they said anything about how long they'll commit to Android updates on this thing? Probably not.
So they said, all they said yesterday when they were asked about that was, of course, we're going to make sure that we apply all the Android updates. We'll have a curated experience where we test it and then we roll them right out to consumers. But they didn't say how long.
No, they're not.
And then they said, let us introduce you to our corporate partner, AT&T. It was a rich history of rolling out updates for us.
Yeah, I know. Right? Yeah.
I bought it unlocked, and I'm going to probably put a Google Fi SIM in it.
Yeah.
What's weird is I saw in some of the articles mentioning Verizon, but I don't see Verizon on this story.
Verizon works.
It does work.
It works.
Okay. It works with all
T-Mobile,
carriers,
Verizon, then. AT&T.
Okay.
Which, by the way, U.S. only at launch.
Makes sense.
Something we should mention.
Makes sense.
Makes sense, but if you're one of the people who's outside this country and is getting a little tired of Microsoft not bringing stuff to your country or bringing stuff late to your country, this is another, you know, they're enthusiasts all over the world who are like, what's going, like, why do you keep doing this to us?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, they'll stage it. It will come.
Will there be a Duo Insider program? I'd like to be a Duo Insider.
Yeah, they have individual insider programs for, you know, Office and OneNote and some of the other apps.
Microsoft might be misunderstanding the market, and that's because they're new to Android. They see this as a tiny surface, like, right?
Yeah, well, literally. Yeah,
they do.
Literally. This is a surface. Yep. Original design created by Surface. Mobile productivity powered by two screens. The best of Microsoft 365. That's not how the world's going to see it. They're going to see it as an Android phone with a really cool form factor that can do more things. I think that's what the world's going to see.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, and Panos was asked yesterday again, like, why do you not want to call this a phone? And he said, I want to call it a Surface. That's exactly what he said.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, okay, well, everybody else is going to call it a phone.
Microsoft as a company does not use the term PC almost ever. These things are devices.
Yeah. Oh, that's really
interesting. True.
Back
that's
in
true.
The day when they had phones and blah, 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 you'd be like, okay, well, they're trying to, be all encompassing. We're at the point now where most Surface devices are PCs. Obviously, you know, Surface Hub is not a PC, and this thing is not a PC, but they have long referred, these things are devices. They're Surface devices.
You know, when you look at it this way, you know, I'm saying, oh, now this looks like she's holding a laptop. It looks like a Surface for Smurfs. It looks like some sort of, you know, they shot a shrink ray at it.
So like a Surface Go by comparison looks like a 17-inch gaming laptop.
Right.
You know.
So that's the problem is anything of this size, people are going to think of as a phone. It looks funny
that's
when you put
it
to your
ear.
They
got to call it something. They got to make up a category name for it, right?
It's a pocket PC, guys. Already got it.
Hey, where have I heard that?
But we already know that no phone is really just a phone. In fact, in most cases, especially for me, I don't answer the phone. It's not a phone. Right. It's a communications device, very much so.
And a camera. Yes.
It's a camera. It's a browsing device. It's my TikTok device.
Peter, it's an entertainment device. It's a TikTok device.
He had to throw that in there, didn't he? He had to go there.
I think TikTok's going to look really great
on
this for 5 days.
TikTok device. You can have tick on the left and talk on the right.
Talk on the right.
Tick on the left, talk on the right. You figured out the category.
There it is.
It's the ultimate TikTok device.
It is the
Surface
ultimate.
TT.
TikTok.
That looks like an Audi.
TikTok. I have to say my opinion of this is highly colored by what's going on in my brain and the synapses that are firing.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's good.
Well, but I'm an enthusiast. I think
we've been
this
doing this podcast for a long time. And I got to tell you, I feel like if this thing had come out 10 years ago, you would have been talking me off of a cliff. And it is fascinating to me how excited you are by this.
Well, I'm not looking at it, honestly, as a Microsoft device. If this were running Windows, I wouldn't be nearly as excited. But because it's running Android, an operating phone operating system that is my number two choice for phone operating systems, and it's right up there. It's right up there.
It's
in my top two. And it's a form factor that I think I kind of get.
Let me ask a question. If Microsoft had announced instead of this, a Surface Pro looks exactly like Surface Pro X, keyboard cover with the trackpad, Pen, but it was running Android.
No.
How do you feel about it? That wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't want that.
No, because Android is really optimized. As much as people try, Google tried. I bought a Pixel C, which was a really nice tablet with a swoopy keyboard, physical keyboard, came on. Beautiful. Complete flop. Google killed it after a year because the software never...
The ecosystem wasn't there.
Yeah. The ecosystem isn't there, and it never will be now. We now know
I'll never understand how that happened, but yes. I mean...
That was a nice piece of gear.
Yep.
That was a great...
Samsung just released a tab, whatever it's called, that's yet the latest attempt to make this make sense, and it's a beautiful device,
beautiful.
But you know...
But who...
It doesn't run the apps. Like, who cares?
People call me all the time and ask... what Android tablet? And on the radio show, I always say, don't. Get an iPad. They start at $300. Why not? Why get an Android tablet?
Well, please, Leo, in our world, it's like, look, I want to stick with Microsoft. You know, what Windows tablet would you recommend? And it's like, first of all, stop shooting yourself in the foot. Get an iPad. And I get it. You hate Apple for some reason. I do too. But this is it. I'm sorry.
If you want a tablet, choice.
You're getting an iPad.
It's in the top two. It really is.
Well, in that case, it's in the top one.
Yeah. Hey, so JoJo Dancer asked an interesting question in the chat room. What does this mean for the Neo, which is the Windows 10 X dual screen device?
So we haven't heard Neo is completely canceled. We've heard it's on hold, but we don't, you know, we think until 2021.
And why is that? Is that COVID?
Because Windows 10 X has been delayed.
Oh.
Windows 10 X is not ready.
Right.
So they're not really related, even though they were announced at the same time.
Well, no,
and they
have
this tool.
So here's the problem. So obviously, if you look at Windows 10 X, the UX is somewhat similar to what you see there on the Duo, right? It's a different operating system, but they are trying to, the goal, as they stated last year, was, you know, we're going to have these two different platforms, but they're going to work similarly, and you should be able to move back and forth between them, and that will make sense to you, you know. But I don't know. I really feel like if Android was ready as an ecosystem for a tablet-sized device, Neo should be Android.
You know? Do? Wow.
Yeah. I don't see any reason for a Windows 10 X. If they could figure out Android, Windows 10 X shouldn't even bother.
I disagree. I think Windows 10 X on a tablet is for people who, like, I feel like I'm in this group. We're searching for the ultimate portable form factor, right? And I feel like this Duo is one way to go. The Go was an attempt to do this, but it didn't work for me because it was too small. And the 10X is a little
good for that kind of thing.
Bigger.
Yeah. I there are a lot of things about 10X that make sense to me. I think we need in this space a simpler UX for people. That I agree with. Architecturally speaking, they've been looking for a way to get past Win32 for so many years. If they could figure out the container thing from a performance and compatibility perspective, absolutely. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, one of the look, even in Google's ecosystem, they went to Chrome OS on tablets and made it run Android apps. I mean, the thing we're missing in Windows is these modern, hip, cool apps that people like to use every single day. We're stuck with, it's like Office.
TikTok. Right. You need TikTok.
That's the key.
But don't you think that's what you do with your phone, right? Your phone and that new apps capability, you can mirror your Android apps on your Windows machine.
So you're carrying, right. That's true. That's true. And your phone and that capability of your phone, the ability to run individual apps, pin them to your taskbar.
Yeah.
To me, it makes even more sense on Windows 10X than it would on traditional Windows 10. Even though, you know, that would be fine. But I think it's just in keeping with the simpler nature of it. I mean, maybe that's how they solve that problem.
Yeah.
That's true.
If you look at, though, what people really want to do with a computer when they're not working and the number of hours they spend on a computing device if they're not working, it's a phone. It's Instagram, it's Facebook, it's...
Yeah, all it's those mobile apps.
It's mobile.
Yeah.
You do that on a laptop, though?
You don't want to do it on a laptop.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm trying to think, like, in my off hours, like, if I'm upstairs working on something, sometimes I'll have something going on YouTube, maybe.
No, I do. I mean, look, you and I, we're computer people, but...
But I don't sit there and run through my Instagram feed on a computer. I don't do Facebook on my computer.
No.
That's what's interesting about this. This is kind of in between. So as the only thing that's kind of bumming me out, man, is the Snapdragon. But I think that'll be all right.
At all. I, if you're concerned about the camera quality, I think this will be disappointing. I think the app situation is going to be fine. Performance, I think, should be fine.
Yeah, no, battery I have a lot of phones with the 855 in it. It's perfectly fine.
I'm using one right now. It's great.
Yeah.
I've been using one all year, actually. It's fantastic. Yeah.
So, you know, one thing they're talking on the business site for Surface Duo about is running Windows Virtual Desktop on the Duo. Think about that, right? So that would be cool.
Yeah. If I haven't held one, so I don't know. It looks kind of small.
Windows Virtual Desktop, but there are other solutions for Mode Desktop, Parallels, I think it's called Parallels Access or whatever.
Yep.
Parallels. You know, they build mobile clients that are touch friendly and they're designed specifically for this kind of thing. So you're not going to sit there and have a little Windows desktop on your screen. I mean, you could, but that's not the point, right? The point is you're out at dinner and you get a support call and you're an IT guy or whatever. Hey, one of the servers down, could you reboot it or could you remote desktop it and see what's going on? It would be a much better experience doing that on a Duo than it would on a traditional phone screen, right? The only thing that would be better is a laptop, and who's going to carry a laptop to dinner? And so I, again, I'm not saying this completely solves the problem and this is why it exists, but I do think any remote desktop solution on this will be a better experience than it would be on a phone. And if that's your job, you know, if that's your job and you need this and you can fix a problem like that, it's good. You know, that's a real world problem.
Mm-hmm. It's an iPod with touch controls. It's a revolutionary mobile phone and it's a breakthrough internet communications device.
You got any yet?
iPod, a phone, an internet device, iPod, a phone, an internet device. Are you getting it?
Yep.
The Swiss Army knife of Androids.
Get the hinge.
And?
We're going to sparking creativity.
It's got a hinge. It's a sparking hinge. You could light a fire with this hinge. It sparks so much.
You know, I was reading something on my Duo. Now we're going to redecorate the house, baby. I don't know what it is. Something's happening in my brain.
It was for me, literally, as again, 5:45 in the morning, there was no question. Immediately went to the buy page. Wow. Yeah. No, because I'd been going back and forth on the Fold. And the issue in the Galaxy Fold is that folding screen, and it's not, you know, they said, oh, it's glass. It's got a layer of thin glass. It's not glass. And it's, I don't know about the hinge. I don't know about the mechanism. They've had so many problems.
You don't think it's too expensive?
Oh, it's too expensive.
Like the price didn't shock you? I was shocked.
Oh, I
wasn't
shocked.
I was.
Do you know how much the Fold's going to cost?
I thought $1,000.
Yeah, the Fold could be $2,000.
It started last year at $2,000. I think it'll be even more this year. So $1,399, I went, whoa. Let me get 256 gigs.
The Note 20 that Samsung just announced, the Ultra version, is $1,300. Yeah.
No, this actually is...
I thought it was going to be under 1,000, but I...
I did too.
I don't know how they could do it for that.
I mean, the part that's expensive is the glass.
You could buy
glass,
two Pixel 4As, and that would cost $600 bucks.
The this glass screens, is what costs all the money.
Right.
Is it? Because the Pixel 4A costs $400.
There's still a bunch of question marks. Battery life concerns me. Camera concerns me. Usability.
I think the camera's going to be disappointing. I think performance is going to be fine.
Yeah. No, the 855 is fine. Yeah. But that's the point, is it's not a computer like a desktop computer. It's a mobile device.
Oh, but it's going to be, Leo. It's going to be.
Yeah, I just don't see it as a productivity tool. I see it as a great Instagram tool.
I only see it as a productivity tool.
Well, you're not going to write articles on this.
No, but I'm going to check my email and... Yeah. Respond to Teams, be on a Teams meeting, right? Like, that's what I'm going to do with it.
I think, that's because of the tenting that would be very interesting for video conferencing.
Yeah, right?
I hope the camera's good enough
for that.
The
quality of the camera.
Well, the other thing, that's the camera in the middle, not in the corner.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's going to be like everyone's video is going to be like... You know, over to the side like this.
It'll be tricky. Yeah.
You can angle the screen.
I'm fascinated by it. I, as yeah. I, as you can tell. I think it is a...
It's something new.
Potentially a breakthrough product.
Wow. Would you call it a game changer for me?
Game changer.
No way.
And it's probably the sexiest device Microsoft has ever made.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you, Panos.
Channeling
report.
Panos.
Only one of the two sexiest devices.
It's in the top 10
that I've ever
the world.
Seen.
Yeah.
Possibly in Stockholm only. I
just want to go on record as saying we probably shouldn't call technology of any kind sexy. Cars yeah. aren't sexy. Computers aren't sexy. Know. Sexy's sexy. Huh. This is hard. And I love technology, but I'm not going to go,
what
ooh.
What would you call it? Drool?
Sexy. No.
Well, I will say this. There are some devices that because of some tactile something that I have found myself unthinkingly turning it over in my hand or whatever. It just feels nice, you know? And
it feels nice in my hand.
I'll just keep that inside my head. All right. So I pulled a half Panos there. Sorry.
I have a fidget spinner I would like to offer you.
Yes. Would you call it sexy?
Yeah. Very sexy. This is a sexy fidget spinner. Feels nice in the hand. I don't know if I'm aroused by it.
That's why when you get a new phone and it's like, I remember when I got the gold Pixel, what was it, Pixel 2 or whatever, 1. All I wanted to do was show everybody how cool the gold was.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to put a case on it.
That was the Nexus 6.
I mean, the next six. Yeah.
I remember that. I was like, Mary Jo, put it away. Come on. Put it away. Who cares about your damn phone?
But then I'm like, I have to put a case on this because I know I'm going to drop it. And right after I get a case, of course, I dropped it. But yeah.
This is pretty sexy. Here's another fidget spinner. That's smooth. And
yeah, like C-3PO when we go to town on that thing.
Anything more to say about the Duo? Have we covered everything there is to say? I think we have. I think we've done quite a good job, I might say.
We spent more time with this than I thought we were going to.
Yeah.
And I blame myself for that.
No, we needed to talk about it, and it just came out this morning. When does that ever happen? We get the perfect
time. I know. I was literally thinking.
Day and date.
Thank you. Thank
so
you.
We knew last week, but we couldn't tell you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What date is September 10th? That's probably not a good day.
September 10th is a Thursday.
It's a Thursday. Yeah. See, that's how we get screwed usually.
It's good for me. That's my day off. I get to play with it.
Yeah. That's supposed to get it, right?
Actually, it is good because then I can talk about it on the radio show that Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you have to think that some of this was because they knew that the Galaxy Fold was coming out on the 15th. And they thought, we better jump these
guys. The single best thing that could ever happen to Duo is if that Fold comes out and immediately suffers from reliability problems, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, given what happened last time and just the complex nature of that kind of device, it's a pretty good bet.
It could happen.
It could happen.
Yeah, I was really thinking, gosh, do I really want to take a chance on that? I don't feel like this is taking a chance. I feel like Microsoft knows what they're doing.
Generation 1 device from Microsoft. It's
That's true. I do have a Surface Book. I remember that.
Yeah. The first Surface Book is
that's a classic.
Like literally an endemic hardware problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've learned a lot since then, and they... I mean, aside from that one gen, they're pretty good with the hinges. So,
well, in a way, this isn't a first product. It's just a little version of a product they've been putting out for a few years now, right?
Well, or you could say it's Andromeda, which they've been working on for years, right? Finally
it is
realized
their first Android, though, which is interesting.
Yep.
But I think that's all. I mean, I feel safer with Android. That's a well-known market. That's not a, you know, we understand Android.
What we do. The question is
second favorite operating system on mobile.
Out of two.
It's right up there. It's
an insider joke. You know, like the people have no idea what you're talking about. We don't understand. It's funny.
Hey, I want to show you my outfit. Do you like my outfit? I'm all in black. I know that's the first thing
you literally noticed your outfit, and I felt weird about mentioning it.
Well, it's...
Is this like a Johnny Cash thing? What's going on
No,
here?
It's... I do like the all in black stuff, but it's a new... It's actually not a new sponsor. It's a sponsor been with us for a long time, Taylor Store. But what's cool about this is... This is a tailored shirt and tailored chinos. They now sell chinos that I, you know, obviously I'm not going to go to a tailor. Or I'm not even going to go to a store these days. You put the phone on the floor. It takes two pictures of you. You tell it your height, weight, and then they send it out. They send the first shirt out and the first pair of pants out. They say these fit. In fact, they did. They fit perfectly, even though I'd gained weight. So they're old. I'd got new measurements because I'd gained weight from COVID, you know. And it's perfect. So what's cool about Taylor Store is they're tailored to your exact specifications. Here's another one. But more than just the measurements. Like I got a monogram. You could choose the buttons. I got the mother of pearl buttons. You choose the collars. You choose everything. You choose the fabric. And then it comes and it's perfect. And I liked it so much. I went out and I just ordered a suit. And this is really fun. They send you... a canvas version of the suit, like a throwaway version of the suit, to see how it fits. And I didn't fit perfectly all around, made some adjustments. They sent me a second one. Fits like I've never had a suit fit so nicely. I said, this is it. So it's on its way. I will wear it as soon as I get it with a black shirt. It's a black suit. It's my funeral suit. Somebody said, your funeral suit, is this for you to go to funerals or for your funeral? I said, it could do both.
Whichever comes first.
Whichever comes first. Taylor Store makes it possible for you to get high quality made to order clothing for men and women without leaving your house, and your clothes fit beautifully. You get the size me app, Android or iOS, and it revolutionizes the measurement process. It's very smart. It uses algorithms. They actually, even if you can't use the app, they have a quick size option which lets you create a measurement profile just by answering a few questions. You enter your height, your weight. The calculations are done by the algorithm. Pictures make it even better. And even then, they send you the first shirt. They send you the first pair of pants. It's the first suit. And if it doesn't fit, you don't have to send it back. You just give it away. Give it to a friend who's a little different size than you, or give it to charity and say, no, it needs to be adjusted here, and they'll send you another one. And man, have they expanded their purchase options. When we first started doing Taylor Store, it was just shirts. And I have now, I think, probably 10 Taylor Store shirts because I love being able to choose all the options, the fabric, the cut, the style, you know, whether it's got vents, I mean, everything. And if you don't want to, you can say, I'm going to get this, you know, preset, of course. Beautiful suits. I can't wait to get to my suit. They sent me a fabric sample and everything so I can see how I like it. Polo shirts, shorts. Trustpilot rating 4.7 out of 5 stars. Thousands of customers. One customer, Darnell, wrote, I'm extremely picky about how my dress shirts should fit. I've always had a hard time finding shirts that actually fit my body type. He says, then I found Taylor Store. I had my doubts. I decided to try it out. The experience was fluid and easy. Yes. I enjoyed customizing my shirt. I got my measurements done through the app. The fabric feels different from all the others I've worn. The collar is actually sturdy. Finally, the fit was spot on. I honestly have a hard time believing that an app got my measurements down to the T. It is kind of magic. Darnell wrote, Taylor Store can have all the money in my wallet. Here's the good news, Darnell. It's not that expensive. And again, never have to worry about returns. If it doesn't fit right, donate it. Give it to a friend. Taylor Store will send you a new item that fits you best. When I get the suit, I'm just very excited. And by the way, the suits are very affordably priced, even with that tailoring and the iterations with the canvas suit. You know, the sizer, I think it was $338 for my suit. A nice material. I'm just thrilled. From the comfort of your own home, design clothes that look beautiful and fit you perfectly with Taylor Store. Once you get that first shirt, now you know it fits. Have at it. They custom make these for you. They'll even send you pictures of your shirt being made, which is awesome. You get 20% off plus free shipping with every purchase. Now through October 31st, 20% off and free shipping because you use our TWIT offer code, okay? Use the code TWIT. And that's not just for this order. That's the next order, all through Halloween. 20% off, free shipping, Taylor Store, TAILORSTORE.com/TWIT. Use the offer code TWIT. Experience the unrivaled fit and comfort of Taylor Store's fabrics for yourself. They have every kind of fabric, too. It's really nice. And you'll love the experience. I mean, this is a really well-done web store. Online experience. It's just so cool. Terms and conditions apply. 20% off, free shipping through Halloween. TaylorStore.com/Twit. They're Swedish. I think they, I don't know if they know about Halloween. They just said October 31st. Do they celebrate Halloween in Sweden? I don't know. They probably have something, you know. TaylorStore.com/Twit. Thank you, Taylor Store, for my new wardrobe. All right. Is there anything else to talk about besides Duo today? Is there anything?
There's a few things.
What else? Windows 10, is that still around? Do they still make that? Yeah,
they still make that. Over a billion people still using it on their PCs.
Yeah, some of them begrudgingly, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah, in terms of just the OS itself, things are just slowly churning along. I still don't have the May update on my Surface Laptop 3. Just checked again today. Nope, not yet.
What? Still?
Nope.
That's unbelievable.
I know. It really is. Because 20H2 is pretty much around the corner now, right?
And yeah, we've heard from people as recently as this week who just suddenly got it. I mean, it's...
I know. You know, we have. Yeah, it is happening.
On Surface.
There are blockers. Oh, okay. All right. There are still listed blockers. A lot of them are driver related for 2004. 20H2, we think, will be out this fall. It's going to be a cumulative update to 2004. So if you ever do get 2004, you'll just be able to have this really nice, simple update to it in the fall.
Yep.
They just keep doing fixes right now for 20H2. And meanwhile, the next, well, some future version of Windows 10 feature update, which we don't know when that will be out. It's some of the features for that are being tested in the dev channel. And today, in fact, there was a dev channel build that had a couple very minor things in it. They've got a new thing they're calling the post update experience, which is, I actually think this is cool.
It's a first run experience, really. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you get a new version of Windows 10 with a feature update, don't you always wonder what's new? Right. And this will kind of put it front and center. Yeah. This will say, hey, you know what's different in this? This and this and this. That'll be great. I think that's good.
There's a tips app built into Windows 10 that most people probably don't even know exists, but this thing's going to pop up and it will show you what's new.
It'll be right in your screen, right? Yeah. I like it. I think it's good. Also some tweaks to the graphics settings to give you more control over them. And that was about it. Lots of fixes otherwise. Yeah.
But in bigger news.
Yes.
In bigger news.
The Duo's out. Oh, no, sorry.
No. Well, yeah.
We have some more Panos news.
Oh, yeah. You said that. What's that?
All Panos all the time this week on Windows Weekly.
Yep. So on Thursday last week, Microsoft made an internal announcement of some changes to the Windows and the Azure organizations. And the big winner in this reorg is Panos. Panos now gets back some of the parts of Windows that had been sent over to Azure Engineering. The Cosine team, which is Core OS and Intelligent Edge team, a lot of that team now is coming back to the Experiences and Devices group under Panos. And the thinking there is it makes more sense to have Panos control the entire end-to-end experience, and maybe that will help smooth things out so that we don't have this kind of May update not coming to surfaces in the future.
Tell me if this sounds accurate to you, because this is how I kind of view this. If you look back at history with the Windows team and its relationship with the what used to be the Windows Server team and is now the Azure team, depending on who was running things, right? At different points in time, the client side was responsible for the core Windows stuff. And at other points in time, it was the server team, right? And so one of the things that happened when Steven Stanofsky took over, he brought all that stuff. He wanted that under the control of his client team. And so we got into that awkward situation where there was a version or two of Windows Server that shipped with like a tile UI, like Windows 8. And it was like, what's going on here? And it was basically because the client guys were running the show. Yeah. When Terry Myerson took over, that stuff went back into what's now Azure, essentially Azure and Server, Jason Zander's organization. And they've been doing the core stuff. And that, you know, that kind of makes sense. That's where like the deep work engineering stuff happens, whatever. But my understanding of what's happening now is that they've essentially split the core stuff so that the client side has part of that core engineering team working on things that make sense for the client, right? Because obviously Azure and Server and or Azure and client are completely different products. And to me, this kind of makes sense, you know, and this is kind of the way things used to be a long time ago, you know, when Jim Alchin was running the show, Alchin being a server guy who came down to client, you know, they did stuff that was specific to client. They did stuff that was specific to server. And so in many ways, I feel like it's almost come full circle. And that anyway, if you care about Windows, this is a good sign. This is a good, this is good for Windows.
Right. So the part of Cosine that stays in Azure is the part that's very focused on Azure Edge, right? So Edge devices, Internet of Things, all that part stays with Jason Zander, which makes a lot of sense, right? Like that belongs in that org to me. And then the parts like Windows developer experience with Kevin Gallo and team, those now go under Panos. Michael Fortin, and, he's going to be moving over under Panos.
How is that not under?
under Panos? Before. I know.
It's crazy, right? Like the guys responsible for the app model on Windows 10 were working for the Azure team.
You know, so there was a Windows part of the Azure team, like Windows client engineering inside of Azure. That's what Cosine kind of was, is. But
does
Panos
stand for something,
gets more
Cosine?
Power.
Does it?
Core OS and Intelligent Edge.
Okay.
Cosine.
Oh, like the mathematics.
Sine, cosine.
Oh, that's cool.
That kind of cosine.
Not like I cosigned for my daughter.
No,
she
like a loan or something. I got my daughter like a student loan.
When Satya has to sign documents, we back him up. Okay. Cosine. Got it.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of a cool acronym.
It is.
Yeah. Is it a, what do you think? I think it's a retronym. I think.
What does
that mean? Like they actually made it, remapped it so it would be a cool.
They
acronym.
Wanted to call it Cosine. And they said, well, we're going to, oh, their OS is in there. How do we make it?
There you go.
I suspect it started off as something close to Cosine and they were like, we got to change it so it is Cosine.
You know? I like that. Somebody's a trigonometry fan.
That makes sense to be math people.
Maybe.
In an engineering group.
And you say there's a little bit of corporate speak.
I don't know if you looked at any of the quotes from this thing, but God, it's I used to always say this about Sinofsky, but you could you take this kind of memo and you put it into Microsoft Word and it does this thing where it condenses it down to the central message, and when you were done, there would be nothing. You know, this is what it's kind of like this, like the
today we are building upon our momentum and the company is leaning on us to lead the next phase of the Windows vision for our ecosystem.
In our desire, that's the good sentence, is to create end user pull across all segments of the business.
Pull me, pull me, baby.
End user pull.
Push you, pull me, push
me, pull you. As we move forward, I'm energized and passionate. Well, it's Panos, right? He's the
it
guy
is.
Writing it.
It is Panos.
Look, you don't end up in this place, right? It, well, first of all, you got to remember too, he has a team of people writing this stuff.
I doubt he put pen to paper.
You don't end up in this position unless your ability to, unless you have the ability to kind of navigate through this world. So
although it does sound like Panos's voice. It sounds like he, I could hear him saying it actually.
But yeah, you know, these kind of, these go out to all full-time employees in the orgs. It goes out to thousands of people. So they want to make it kind of lofty.
I work in a small company, so I don't get to have this experience. But if I received a memo like this, I feel like I'd message someone I trusted on the side and I'd be like, what does this say? Like, what is
what this mean?
What is he really
Did I get fired? What is this
mean?
Yeah.
Windows is a partnership.
It is a partnership.
Innovation and success are only possible through collaboration.
It's like a funny thing happened. This pandemic hit, and it suddenly occurred to us that Windows, this thing we've completely ignored for several years, is really important to people.
Yeah.
And maybe, I'm just throwing this out there, spitballing here, maybe we should pay attention to it.
Does he worry that the it's a chair that is like an ejector seat, or maybe there's like a hole underneath it or something. Right.
You're going to go fast, but if you pull the wrong switch, you're going to be wearing a parachute.
Sanofsky, Terry Meyerson. It's not.
Yeah. You know, if somebody said to me, if you could work at Microsoft, what team would you want to run? I wouldn't pick Windows.
You're really on the line.
You're really on the line.
I feel like I only pay attention to this part of it, really. So if I were to examine another part of the company and say, how long did different people run some other organization?
Could have been the same.
Maybe it's not that different.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is just. And we think of it as like, look, we live and die Windows. So Terry Meyerson, you know, goes and it's like a funeral for me, you know. But the truth is for these people, I mean, he left the company in this case, but a lot of times they're kind of moving around anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Like they got a CEO position at a different thing, or they're running some philanthropic institute or whatever it is, or they've gotten a promotion within Microsoft. I mean, this is probably just part of the normal corporate ladder stuff.
Scott Gu has run Azure forever, right?
That's true. That's true. But even he started somewhere else. I mean,
Silverlight. Yeah. Let's not bring that up. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, let's not. Yeah.
I want to run the Silverlight team.
Silverlight for him is like when you dig up a photo of someone in high school and they had braces and thick glasses. Yeah.
Pretty much.
We didn't know any better at the time. I think it's probably just normal corporate. Shifting around.
Right? I mean, we focus on this one part of it.
There's got to be a lot of pressure. I wonder, though, if the amount of pressure on the Azure team, on Scott Guthrie, will go up as the amount of pressure on the Windows team goes down as their relative importance to the company
shifts. I think Panos is smart to drive this right now because of what's happening in the world. He has the ear of the people who make the decisions, and they're going to get more money and more resources. And us as users of Windows may ultimately benefit from this. I mean, we'll certainly experience some change. You know, we'll see what happens. Yes. But I mean, look, Mary Jo said this, you know, 1 billion people using Windows 10. I mean, we're all sitting at home. We all need a
computer.
Makes
a difference. Changes the
world.
Work
done.
You bet.
It does.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's got to be exciting to come into work every day and say.
Or to stay at home every day,
to not come to work every day.
It's going to be exciting every day to walk downstairs, get some coffee going in the kitchen. And
I'm going to change the world right here from my dining room table.
I don't know if anyone actually read this. I sent it out to 13,000 people.
Yeah.
Yep. I have no idea.
So, we knew about this reorg, but this is, this has been coming since the end of the quarter, right? But this is the other shoe dropping.
I would say so. Yeah. I mean, we just found out about it, but clearly this had to have been planned for this time frame. And but I think Panos took over this organization back in probably March or something. We've seen a few small steps, but this is obviously the big one. And I think this is the type of thing that kind of builds over time. You're trying to figure out, and I'm sure there was negotiations with Jason Zander's team and Azure about how they were going to split things up, and I think you mentioned Mike Fort is coming over to the client side, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. It's been around for 20 years plus, or 20 years-ish. We're finally learning about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yippers. Okay. Ignite is coming up, but it's going to be a little different this year.
Yeah.
What's the news there?
I kind of like this new idea. So they're splitting Ignite into two parts. So the part we knew was going to happen in the fall as a virtual event, September 22nd to 24th, is still happening. But instead of making it a four-day event, you know, where you're looking at your screen 4 days in a row, endless sessions, they're going to break off part two and make that happen sometime in early 2021. We don't know when the date is yet. And it'll be another virtual event.
So the knee-jerk reaction to this we all had was, wow, they must have some stuff they're pushing back. They don't have enough to announce, you know, yada, yada, yada. But the more I thought about it, you know, they just did Build this way. And Build was basically a two to three-day event, whatever. That was a monumental undertaking. And there were a lot of Microsoft employees that kind of killed themselves to put this live event out, make it happen all around the world. And I thought they did a great job. And I'm sure some of the feedback they got internally was like, guys, we can't do 4 days of this. Like,
that would be exhausting.
I know.
Splitting it up, I think, make much more sense for Microsoft internally, for all the employees. it's like Mary Jo says, it's for us as people who are like the audience just to digest it. Because, you know, Ignite is overwhelming. So I think this is great. I don't think there's any undercurrent of anything bad. And it was Chris Capicella who wrote that post. And he he went to pains. By the way, this doesn't mean anything about Build. Not canceling Build. Build 2021. We're not going to, the second Ignite will not replace that.
Yep.
It's good. Good communication there, by the way. Something we don't often get. So good on him for doing that.
It was. Yep.
Cool.
And here's where I put your other story you were asking about, Paul, the GeekWire.
So you might want to bring up the chart from this article because I found this to be rather fascinating. And sorry, I didn't mean to just jump in there, but.
No, so GeekWire, every year they take a look at Microsoft's SEC filing, their 10K that comes out around this time. And that breaks Microsoft revenues out in a very different way than we get on the earnings call.
Right.
Which is good. This way it makes more sense for us.
We always talk, you know, the future of Microsoft is the cloud. And actually, if you look at the chart, the present of Microsoft is the cloud because those top two businesses, which is Azure/Server and then Microsoft 365, are largely cloud businesses, right?
Yeah.
So they're top two businesses. And I'd have to really think about the numbers here. I don't know what percentage they are of overall revenues. I'm sure they're close to 50%, though. It must be up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Essentially cloud-based, right? Now, the number three business, of course, is Windows. And see the little dip? If you look at that navy blue line in the middle, there's a dip right there. See, 2015, that's where it hits. That's the nadir. That was the end of the Windows 8 era.
Yeah, it looked, it was just, you know, it had a dip here and then went up a little bit. And then it's decline, dip.
Windows 7.
And this is Windows 10.
Benefiting, obviously, from the expiration of Windows 7, the terribleness of Windows 8, you know, so really benefited. But the line now, the total revenue number, is higher than it's ever been in this 12-year period. You can see in the chart. So even when Windows 7 was at its peak back in 2010, right? Yeah. It's doing better than it was then.
So this is in millions. So it's 20,000 million is the line here, which would be, what, 20 billion? Wait a minute, 20,000, 1,000 million is a billion, so 20 of those is 20 billion. That's a big business. That's
Windows
per year.
Windows is still a huge business, right?
Per year.
It's huge.
The math, by the way, so that number is 16% of Microsoft's total revenues. That's what that works out to.
Yeah.
For the fiscal year.
Yep.
Well, that's interesting because, I mean, when you say it's almost twice as much for Azure.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft 365.
And then you had 365, and that's, you know, what, 50% or more?
Yeah, and the other way to think about these three businesses, and by the way, it's really interesting if you go back to 2008 and look how, you know, they were closer back then, right? So these three businesses were Microsoft's three core businesses for many years, essentially Server, Office, Windows, right? And which one was number one? It kind of went back and forth. There were different time frames for that. But Office overtook Windows to be the biggest business, you know, sometime. I got to remember when that was. Server, and now as we go into the cloud era and it becomes Azure and whatever other cloud pieces, is, you know, by far Microsoft's biggest business already.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we always say the future, but it's like, well, it's now.
Already, it's here.
Look at the sharpness of those two lines at the top.
Well, yeah, Azure's just taken off, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's exactly, you know, if you'd asked me, I would have said it's probably like that. I had no idea, though. I mean, it's a very clear. Xbox is pretty much, you know.
It's the Zune business.
Is Zune under what? Devices? That's the yellow line. For some reason.
The one that was zero.
The one that was way down here was
zero
nothing.
Line.
What is this little peak on that?
Yeah, 2015? That must be Xbox. Oh, no, it can't be Xbox.
That's yellow.
Xbox
it's devices.
So it's going to be Surface.
Yeah.
2015. That was when Surface RT came out, right?
No. Surface. No, that was 2012.
Oh, 2012. That was
Surface Pro 3 was 2014. So 2015 is Surface Pro 4 and Surface
Book. That makes sense.
By the way,
that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, but also that drop off you see afterwards. That's where they had
all the reviews, liability problems. Yeah.
Well, they had serious problems.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So it looks like it's stabilized. They've been on a more normal growth curve there.
LinkedIn's doing all right, though. I mean, LinkedIn's beating devices. It's doing all right. It's coming up.
I know.
Up.
It's surprising. It's just chugging along doing its LinkedIn thing. Yeah.
And what they get is more than revenue, really, from LinkedIn. It's a lot more than revenue.
Yeah. I would say what they get is not revenue.
It doesn't show us what's profit. I don't know how to describe it.
Well, come on. It's like almost
it's like a benefit.
It's like an $8 billion business. It's a business. I'd love to have an $8 billion business right now.
They just laid off 1,000 people at LinkedIn a week ago. So,
okay. So whenever they bought it, what did they spend on LinkedIn? 26.2 billion. So, I mean, if you wouldn't see that in the revenue list, but I mean, that point, it should be like negative 26 billion is where it started.
That's where they're coming from. Yeah.
You know, so
it's going up.
I don't know. Yeah, it's going up. Anyway, the big three are what the big three have been forever, really, right?
Yes, it's just the order. Their order has changed.
The order has changed, and the server thing has turned into cloud, you know. Mm-hmm. But by the way, there's a nice diversified business there too. That's the other thing you see in this term.
No kidding. That's a really good point.
You don't see like one thing way at the top and a bunch of things at the bottom.
Yep. It's a well-run company you got right there, Mr. Nadella. Yep. Shame if anything happened to it.
I didn't mean to say that. Right. Wow, that got dark.
Well, I am wearing black, right?
Yeah.
Hey, let's take a little tiny break. Black. Little teeny tiny break. I want to talk about Adobe Sign. We were just talking about it. We saw it on the Duo. I'm sure you feel the same way. It drives me nuts when I get an email saying, here's the document, print it, sign it, and then fax it back to us. I just want to shake their little scrawny necks and say, don't you know about Adobe Sign? It's so much easier. Your signers will love it, and it's more secure. And now with, you know, COVID and everybody at home, Adobe Sign is now what you need to keep your business moving. I didn't realize this. Adobe Sign has processed more than 8 billion transactions, millions of signers all over the world, from small startups to global organizations. These e-signatures are legal. They're more secure. They're more reliable than sign and fax. It helps support your critical processes, whether it's requests for permits or construction planning or, you know, it's still in real estate in California anyway. You're still manually signing documents. It's just nuts. If you're in health services, human resources, internally, sure, at procurement, IT. The nice thing is it can be employee-driven. You don't have to create the documents yourself. You can make it automatic. Self-serve workflows make it easy to initiate and track signing processes. You can do things you could never do with paper documents. You can enforce deadlines. You have 1 week to sign this and get it back to me. Archive final documents automatically, complete with audit trails. That's why it's more secure. It also saves you time and money, something we can always use. Enterprise-grade security and compliance, HIPAA-compliant, FERPA-compliant, GLBA-compliant, of course, everything. And you can configure it to fit your needs so that if you have an industry-specific compliance requirement, Adobe Sign's there to protect you, to make you legally compliant and accessible. That's also really important. You got to have accessibility these days. Automatically enforce regulatory and policy rules. You get everyone's signature. Legal e-signatures let you choose from a variety of identity verification methods. You know, that fax and sign or whatever way you're doing it now, you know, what, show me your driver's license. But you can with Adobe Sign, you can require legal U.S. government IDs. There's even certificate-based employee IDs like PIV or CAC cards and more. Easily integrate e-signatures into the systems and applications you already use. Pre-built applications for Microsoft, of course, 365 for Salesforce, ServiceNow. My boss at the radio station, they use Workday. I've used it. It integrates beautifully with that. You get access to their powerful APIs, already included. Get the most bang for your buck. So simple for signers. As a signer, we create documents here too, but as a mostly my experience is signing. When I get an Adobe Sign document, I go, hallelujah. I just click and sign. You can even track and manage the process so you'll know the status of every signature. And if you're waiting on somebody, you can send reminders. You can even cancel a request. Say, yeah, too late, sorry. Contracts get signed, loans get approved, deals get done faster than ever before. Adobe Sign has solutions for any kind of company, from small businesses to the biggest global industries. Keep your business moving with Adobe. Learn more about what Adobe Sign can do for your business. Adobe.com/business moves. That's Adobe.com/business moves. You know why? Because business moves with Adobe. That's why. And let me just tell you, I always go, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Your signers will love it. Adobe.com/business moves. Moving right along. Let's see what's next here. Cloud. Should we talk about Fiji?
We should.
What Fiji? What is that?
So this is interesting.
I take exception to this name.
I know. So Microsoft did use the code name Fiji a long time ago. What was it? Home server?
It was Media Center 2.0, I believe.
Yeah, Media Center 2.0. I think they got in trouble with the government of Fiji. Do you remember that?
That's
the government of Fiji threatened them for using the code name. But now they're back. They're using it again, but this time for something totally different. If you know what Azure Stack is, which is Microsoft's appliance for people who want to put something that's very, very similar to Azure inside their own data centers and run it in their own data centers, this is related to, but somewhat different. So Fiji, Azure Stack Fiji, is this thing Microsoft's building. It's very similar to a capability that is in AWS Outposts, which is Amazon's hybrid computing strategy slash play. Fiji is going to let people buy racks of servers from Microsoft with Azure running on them and put them in their own data centers.
Oh.
So this isn't just like sort of like Azure in my data center or some Azure services, but not all of them. This is Azure on server racks that Microsoft will ship to you in like a cage, basically. And you can run it in your own data center. I don't know when this is going to come out, but I heard the code name, and of course, I had to find out what it was.
So you got your Azure in my data center?
I did. Yes, I did.
So Fiji was an update to Media Center. Yeah,
it was. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And Paul likes that because he loved. I remember you loved Media Center. You were so sad when that went away.
Yeah. Was that Charlie Owen's product?
Yeah. Charlie Kindle. Charlie Owen. No. Actually,
was it Kindle
Charlie Kindle was on it. No, he was doing Home Server. No, Charlie Kindle was Home Server.
Home
probably
Server. Owen. Yeah.
I think you're probably right. To me, it was Joe B.
I can't remember. Yeah. Yeah.
That was the, what do you call it, eHome group that got in trouble with Alchin because they made all this branded stuff. And he's like, you guys are not a group. You don't get to. Charlie Owen. Yeah, maybe.
Owen, maybe, yeah.
Kindle was, he was Quattro, what do you call it? The home server,
right? Yeah. Okay. So that's Fiji in a nutshell.
Fiji in a nutshell.
And we haven't talked about TikTok. We have to talk about them every week.
I forgot about that.
This week in TikTok.
What's happening with TikTok? So now the president issued an executive order. He declared a national TikTok emergency.
Yeah.
And he says no more transactions with TikTok in September. He's going to give it 45 days.
20th. After 5 days after Microsoft has to buy them or somebody has to buy them if they don't.
And honestly, a number of people said, you know, for Microsoft to absorb something like this would take a while.
It would.
Yeah, like a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, the thing that happened since last week is Twitter has apparently been reported to have talked to TikTok about a possible acquisition. And Twitter is obvious choice other than the fact that they can't afford it.
They don't have the money.
Yeah, they can't afford it. So even with financing, they couldn't afford it. So
yeah.
But they do have, you know, experience with the social network, obviously.
Yeah.
I would much rather see anyone that's not named Microsoft take it if that has to happen. But
I know, me too. Yeah. So anyway, there's no update on the Microsoft news front. We still think they're continuing to try to figure out if they want it. And yeah.
Hmm. Yep.
Hmm.
Yep.
Interesting.
I know.
I don't know what's going to happen now. Do you think that the executive order changes things, or is my? Do you feel
no,
like
I think
it will accommodate Microsoft?
Yeah, me too. And I think it's meant to be. If Microsoft doesn't solve this, or somebody on by September 15th, we're giving you 5 more days, and then that's it. Yep.
Do you get the sense that Microsoft is still negotiating? Or see, if I were them, I would have just
everything
said, oh,
I've heard is
this.
They are super interested.
Why?
Me too. Same.
I don't know.
Oh, well, remember all those reasons last week? Data, algorithms, AI, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, for the same reasons, I think none of that matters, because this is a horrible hit to its reputation. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But look, yeah.
It's going to be tough.
It doesn't seem like they're backing down.
No, every article I read, like Reuters wrote a really good one last week or this week about how hard it's going to be to separate out the user data, the algorithm, and all, because supposedly there's a platform that ByteDance built that TikTok uses underneath all of that. And so how do you like decouple that from it?
Yep.
Yeah,
it's going to be
there's a lot of technical questions about how this would work.
How do we do it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's complicated.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. But
yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I'm sorry, Mary Jo. There's nothing I can say.
Don't be sorry. One of these stories is
mine.
What? It's Xbox time, featuring
and it's
Mary Jo Foley.
Yep. Mary Jo weighs in on Halo Infinity.
Ah, it's about time.
What about the delay?
It's about time.
Yeah. So Leo will remember, because we covered this event live. You know, the first game that they demoed at Microsoft event was Halo.
Yeah,
and I sort of thought it was going to be like the beginning of The Wizard of Oz, where what we're looking at is the old version, and it's going to blossom into a color extravaganza of new graphics, and it never did. A lot of people complained about that, and now Microsoft's delaying Halo Infinity. So instead of coming out at the launch this year, it's going to come out sometime in 2021. Now, if they're smart, they'll do ray tracing from day one and take the time to get that right, because I got to say, it looked like Halo, you know, which I know sounds obvious, but it looked a little too much like Halo. Like, it looked too much like the Halo we've already played. I've been playing Halo 3 recently on the PC. And it looks, you know, it looks good. It's, you know, it's 12 years old or whatever. I mean, it looks good, but it's old, you know. Anyway, the good news, though, is Microsoft did confirm that the Xbox Series X is going to launch in November, which is, you know, what all the rumors were. I mean, that's when they always launch new consoles. Actually, I'll skip ahead one, because Brad especially, but others too, have been reporting that there's another console coming called an Xbox Series S. This would be like a lower-end version of the X, just like today, or what we used to have was an Xbox One X and an Xbox One S. And so for the Series X, Series S will kind of have the same set of consoles, it looks like. And that leak comes from, I guess Best Buy got a shipment of the new controller somehow, even though they're not coming out till November. And the controller has documentation on the outside that explains what it will work with. And one of the things it's going to work with is something called the Xbox Series S, which Microsoft has not announced. So possibly this month we'll get an announcement on that. So I hope and assume that's coming soon. And in the confusing world that is cloud gaming, which is based on Project X Cloud, which will only work on Android now, but we're hoping it comes to iOS someday, they are ending the preview. They got rid of it on iOS, at least for now. As of, I think it was yesterday, if you get the cloud gaming app, actually there are three versions of it, it's a little confusing, but if you're on Android, you can get a cloud gaming app and you'll be able to play it from now through September in beta. whatever that means. And then September, it's going to launch. And then you'll need to have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, obviously, to access cloud gaming, which is the feature that's powered by Project X Cloud, which is whatever. It's basically Microsoft has a bunch of Xbox One X's in a data center somewhere, and they're, you know, broadcasting the games out to users. So game streaming is the future.
I got to say, the Xbox team is getting as bad as the Dynamics team in terms of naming and changing names and announcing, like, different names for different things. I'm very confused.
So if you ask Microsoft, you say, well, obviously Project X Cloud is not a final name of anything. It's called Project something. And then you hear cloud gaming. You're like, oh, good, this feature is called cloud gaming. And they're like, whoa, hold on. Project X Cloud still exists. Yeah. The feature that is powered by Project X Cloud is called Games Cloud Gaming, sorry. It is a feature of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. Like, okay. But you can look it up.
Yesterday, I sent you a note. I'm like, so is Xbox Live still called Xbox Live?
And the presumption was that they were going to get rid of Xbox Live Gold in favor of these Xbox Game Pass subscriptions. But Microsoft publicly said, no, we're not getting rid of Xbox Live Gold. Why would we do that? We need to have 17 different cloud services. So.
Yeah. So, Chris Capicella, remember last year on our holiday show, I joked with you and I said, you know what? There's going to be Xbox, you know, E3, E5. You know what? It's happening. You got to fix this. Yeah.
And that's no wonder you're interested in Xbox all of a sudden. It's starting to make sense to you.
I'm like, oh, it's just like Microsoft 365. There are all these plans and you can add parts of them, and the licensing is just a disaster.
It's just like Microsoft 365. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, except instead of a dedicated Azure box, we have like a dedicated console, if that's what you want.
Yeah.
Right. Our show today brought to you by, I got a rant about email lists that are not accurate, not up to date. Do you ever get duplicates? I used to get a very big, expensive catalog from Restoration Hardware, five of them. And I'm thinking, guys, you're wasting probably tens, twenties, hundreds of dollars sending me these four-color, beautiful, phone book-sized catalogs, and you're bugging the hell out of me, so you're making me an unhappy customer. I'm going to get off your mailing list. That's not what you want. If you've ever forgotten to check the date on a carton of milk, we all have, right? Like, milk, your customer data has a best buy date. It goes bad. In fact, it goes bad fast. Up to 30% of customer data goes bad every year. People move, phone numbers change, emails change. Melissa, that's their whole job, is cleaning up your data. Their job is to make sure your data is accurate and current so you can reach your customers in a way they want you to reach them. We sold t-shirts and stuff through a company, and they said, well, we can do masks. We thought, oh, great, Twit masks. That'd be great. So we offered them. And this company, we started getting emails from customers. I've mentioned this before, that's from our listeners saying, you know, they got the address right, but they're sending it to Gainesville, Florida. I said, oh, that must just be a mistake. That can't be real. And then then I get more of those. Then I got an email from Joe in Gainesville, Florida. Said, I just got 180 masks. We are no longer working with that company. So you see, bad data can actually cost you business. Melissa fills in the gaps. It adds customer demographic information to your records. It eliminates duplicates. It changes addresses if they're different. You can actually say, I need property and mortgage data, marital status, social media handles. Melissa has it all. They'll fill in any gaps. If the email's not there or if it's wrong, they'll fix it. The phone number, same thing. Identifying current customers easily allows you to find new prospective customers because Melissa also has a prospect database. See, I thought only Facebook could do this. No, Melissa can do it too. Here's my customer database. Here's prospects because they match. It's brilliant. Verify your addresses, your emails, your phone numbers, and your names in real time. So, and that's pretty cool too, because there are a number of ways Melissa can work, and different companies work different ways. There's very big companies use Melissa as Melissa's API in their online shopping service, so that when a customer service rep or a user starts entering in an address, it fills it out, says, you mean this? Yep. It corrects it. It gets it all. It's great. Customer service reps, they're working fast. Sometimes they misenter stuff. They can be part of that software too.
Melissa's matching and dedupe tools help you uncover, merge, and purge hard-to-find duplicate records for an accurate view of your customers. And they'll fit any – you can do it on-prem. You can do it as a web service. You can FTP it using SFTP, secure FTP, upload it. They'll fix it, send it back. SaaS delivery, you could choose the best way to meet whatever your business needs are. And by the way, I really want to emphasize this. Melissa continually undergoes independent security audits to reinforce their commitment to data security, privacy, and compliance requirements. They have the utmost dedication to your data security by implementing strong controls and safeguards when processing your data. They keep it safe. Lots of people, 10,000 businesses trust the address experts. You can too. Trust Melissa to be your foundation for data-driven success. By the way, they're doing something really nice during COVID-19. They're supporting communities and qualifying essential workers. See if your organization qualifies for 6 months of free Melissa service. Free. You can apply online at the website Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, melissa.com/twit. Don't put up with sour customer contact data. Try Melissa's APIs in their developer portal. It's easy to log on, sign up, and start playing in the API sandbox 24/7. And as a little extra special added benefit, because you're listening to Windows Weekly, you can see it started today with 1,000 records cleaned for free. For free at melissa.com/twit. That's melissa.com/twit. Fresh data. It's always a good thing to have. Melissa.com/twit. Thank you, Melissa.
All right. Now, can I do my part of this segment? Okay. So Minecraft Education Edition, which isn't really a game. It's more like an educational tool.
Looks like it's a whole classroom now. Yeah. I mean, it's everything.
Yeah. So it is available on Chromebooks.
Woo-hoo!
Starting this week.
That's
so
huge.
A lot of people were asking for this, right? They were like, are you ever going to bring it to Chromebooks? You know, it's on iPads and Windows and Mac, but how about Chromebooks? Because that's what people use in education, right? So yeah, they did it. It's available right now on Chromebooks. So if you have a Microsoft 365 subscription plan, like A3 or A5, you already have access to this Minecraft for Education. And if you don't, you can license things on a yearly subscription basis through volume licensing,
Say you, in this case, you
have to be an educator, I think.
It's schools. An educational institution.
I've tried to get it. I really want it.
Right.
Yep. It's through schools. You have to go that way. It's not for individuals.
There must be a way if you're homeschooling, and a lot of people are homeschooling. There must be a way.
I wonder. That's a good point, because the other thing they announced this week was they said the existing Minecraft Education Edition products are all being updated with a bunch of new functionality for remote learning.
Right.
So you would think that would imply if you were learning from home that you could somehow tap in here.
Yeah.
Right?
Somebody in the chat room, WFH, says I was able to get it by letting them know I'm teaching kids, but that I'm homeschooling. Mm. So there's some sort of method, I guess, to do that.
Yeah.
Cool. Is that it?
That's it.
That's our Xbox segment, and I didn't even have to take Mary Jo off camera so she could nap or chase Sarah or anything.
It would have been like a 30-minute Thorat rant against Tim Cook and Apple for screwing over Project xCloud on the iOS.
Which it should be. But by the way, everybody agrees. Even Renee Ritchie agrees.
I think, you know, given the way things are going today, we're just going to let that one rest.
Apple only wishes regulation. It had a duo.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sure. They're really jealous of Microsoft's devices lineup.
Why didn't we think of that? Mm-hmm. We could do that. We could have done that. Now it's too late.
By the way, Tim Cook's Apple is the company that will do this, but they'll do it in 3 years. And they'll get it. It will be great when they do it.
It'll be with Apple Silicon.
Yeah, we'll be running on Apple Silicon.
Yep. I don't know if they will. I think that this is the kind of thing.
You don't think we'll see folding
I think Apple would look at this as kind of kludgy.
Oh, no, right. That's what I mean. No, they'll wait until it's perfect.
No, but I mean, I think they'll say, but we don't need that. We have an iPad.
Yeah, Apple does like having different devices for everything, not one device that does, you know, that removes another device. They want to add a device.
Yeah, it's funny. I just don't ever see them do that. I mean, I would love it if they did. Although, I think this is made for Android. Android is really a little bit more suitable, I think, for this.
I feel like an iPhone that could unfold into an iPad mini would be kind of interesting. You know?
But why do that when we can sell you both an iPhone and an iPad mini?
That is the up way. No, sure.
Yep.
We never give up a dollar. You know?
No.
Yeah, I would be. I'm fairly angry about xCloud and Stadia, too, that Microsoft, I mean, Apple says.
Every game service.
I mean, they're basically GeForce Now, nothing. And I think that's not
that's everything you
well.
Need to know about Apple in a nutshell. Just the inconsistencies, the anti-competitiveness. It's just terrible.
See, we got a rant at him. I worked on it.
Yeah, mini rant.
Yeah, I know. There had to be one.
I had to poke him a little bit.
You're like, come on, rant, Therat.
Rant, damn you, rant.
Let's see. Going back in time, I mean, obviously I was kind of a Zune guy back in the day. And then as that evolved into groove music and groove music, you know, music pass, and I did all that stuff. And I really liked groove. I kind of felt bad when they got rid of that because Groove had a nice deal where you could kind of mix and match your own music with the subscription music. And I like that kind of thing. And so when that went away, Amazon got rid of their similar service. They don't do that. They don't let you upload your own music anymore. It only left two alternatives, Google Play Music at the time and then Apple through iTunes Match and Apple Music. And, you know, you can mix and match your own music if you want. I obviously don't want to use the Apple thing. So I've been using Google Play Music, and it's for a couple of years now. It's been great. Like, and one of the things is, by the way, just unfortunately, it's going away. But you could upload 50,000 songs to a free account and stream them over the internet. It's incredible.
Love that. Do it. Yep.
Problem is, they're getting rid of it, right? They're going to go to YouTube Music. A lot of people freaking out because there's a lot of stuff in Google Music that's not available in YouTube Music, and they're not going to have the music uploader. Well, they can still upload music, but it's just a little more complicated. You know, the UI is different. They actually segregate your own music from the cloud music. They have two different views for some reason. You can't mix and match. It's weird, but you can still make playlists that has music from both and blah, blah, blah. And I've actually kind of grown to, I've been using it for 2 months and I have not gone back to Google Music. You know, there are things I miss for sure, but I will say this, and this is rather incredible. The one thing that's awesome about YouTube Music is that it integrates with YouTube. So you could go to the YouTube service, and what you find on there is all kinds of music that is nowhere else in the world. It's nowhere else. There's like live concerts. There's all this quarantine music that bands are putting out now. John Fogerty's been doing a bunch of stuff, but all kinds of different bands just releasing individual songs that they're singing for in their house. It's like, it's awesome. So my wife and I really like the stuff. I've been making these quarantine playlists of like musicians playing stuff from home and everything. That stuff shows up in YouTube Music. And that alone makes this really cool for music fans. I mean, I know there are lots of things that are missing. I know people are freaking out, but I got to say, the fact that my YouTube playlists that are music related are available in YouTube Music puts this thing over the top for me. Nice. And I'm not saying, look, if you're using Spotify, I'm not saying switch or anything, but if you are using Google Play Music, especially because you're going to move to this whether you want to or not by the end of the year. It's not all bad. And Google has said this even this past week. They've said, look, we're going to add everything that you wanted. You can be able to upload. It'll be fine. But I've been, like I said, I'm using it for 2 months. Honestly, I think it's fine. And the ability to access music that you literally cannot get anywhere else to me is just an incredible benefit. So as a music lover, I got to say, I really like YouTube Music. I know I'm in the minority, but
you are. But you know, people hate anything with change. Yeah. People hate. So.
Yep. Yeah, and I get that. I hate change too.
Yeah,
I get it.
I mean, I just at some point I was also a Google Play Music user. They'll send you an email saying, "Okay, you got to transition over." Mm-hmm. I got that email and I'm transitioned over, and it's fine.
Yeah. They started doing this back in May, and because I have a custom domain on Google. I either get things late or not at all. So I knew it was going to come late. But actually, they did it to me in June, and they offered it to me in June, and I did the transfer. I let it happen overnight. But I have tons of playlists. I have lots of music. They didn't butcher anything. Like, it all came over great.
That's good.
And there's other stuff I like. But, like, the now playing experience in YouTube Music is way better than the one in Google Play Music. It's really nice. Anyway, it's just there are pros and cons. But, like I said, the music on YouTube part of it is – unbelievable. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not all bad. It's the modern, it's a more modern app too. I mean, it's just was time.
Oh, yeah. It was time. Like as an older guy, I kind of appreciated the old school interface, honestly, in Google Play Music. I did. I do. I still do. But It's okay. I can adapt, you know,
in small ways. Just for historic reasons, but also because I have to cover it. Yeah, pretty much everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I often end up using YouTube Music just because it's there and it's easy.
I have Spotify because my kids use it, and I just can't get into it. And the way that it handles your own music is broke. It's just broken. It's like it's the stupidest thing I've seen.
Yeah,
so.
No, that's not good. I agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
How about an app?
Plus, I should also say, as part of the subscription, because I do pay for it, you also get ad-free YouTube. That's huge. I watch YouTube every day.
Yes, I don't want the ads. Yeah, I'm with you. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
It's weird to me. Like, I go to a computer, I'm not signed in, and I see ads. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
This isn't how YouTube works.
That's true.
That is how YouTube works. Yeah. So the pick of the week is actually a Mac app, but it's a Mac app that lets you run Windows on the Mac. So Parallels has come up with the latest version of their desktop virtualization solution, Desktop 16. It's going to get even better when macOS Big Sur ships probably next month, version 11, because there's a bunch of performance and UI stuff that's kind of tied to that release. So you can get it now. It works fine in existing versions of macOS. But what's really going to put this over the top is the next version of macOS. And so, you know, they've been working with Apple to make sure this stuff all works right. Of course, they're going to make the transition to Apple Silicon as well. But huge performance advantages. And, you know, one of the really neat things about this is if you're a Mac guy, but you have to run Windows apps, you don't have to bring up a whole desktop environment, right? You can run individual apps, Windows apps, alongside your Mac apps. Like, it's kind of a seamless experience called Coherence that works really, really well.
It does.
I love Parallels, so still my favorite.
Might be the only way you can run Windows on a Mac soon. I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yep. They're getting rid of Boot Camp, so that's okay. I like this better anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. Mary Jo Foley, this show's been going down the tubes for years, but now we're going down to shoots. Codename pick of the week.
I have two codename picks of the week. First one is Deschutes. The Walking Cat found out that Deschutes is the code name for the service I wrote about recently called Cloud PC. And if you remember what Cloud PC is, it's a new service Microsoft's building on top of Windows Virtual Desktop that's going to let you have desktop as a service for a set monthly fee. And we don't, another one of these, just like Fiji, we don't know when this will be rolling out, but I knew about the Cloud PC service name, but I didn't know what the code name was. So now we do know. Deschutes is it's a river in Oregon, and it's also a region in Oregon, I think, right?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It was also an Intel code name, wasn't it?
I think it was, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, like a microprocessor.
Yeah.
Yep.
Deschutes.
Yep.
So
now we've got Microsoft Deschutes.
And this is kind of what we've been talking about all this time with this thin client, cloud-based. How much will it be? Do you know?
We don't know. Nope. No idea yet.
Because that might be the other way to run Windows on,
exactly.
on a Mac or something else.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what we think is going to happen. Or even on 10X because we don't think they'll have the Win32 container ready right off the bat. So a good way to run your Windows apps on that, your traditional Windows apps might be through Cloud PC if it comes out in time.
Interesting. It's a brave new world.
It is.
And a second code name.
Second code name is Project Oakdale. And Project Oakdale has to do with a product that Microsoft recently announced called DataFlex. So DataFlex is a set of technologies, like an underlying database technology, plus low-code, no-code tools for people who want to write Dynamics 365 and Teams apps. Here's the problem, though. When Microsoft announced that the name of this would be DataFlex, I guess they didn't do a trademark search.
Oh.
And there was another company called Data Access Worldwide that owns the term DataFlex. So they have sued Microsoft over the term. And so Microsoft is going to be renaming DataFlex to something else in the coming weeks. But the way you can refer to it now, if you would like, DataFlex for Teams is by its code name, which is Project Oakdale.
Which, by the way, is the name of the elementary school I went to as a child.
Is it really? That must be why they chose it. That's got to be it.
One of the other elementary schools in Denham was Riverdale, which is the school
Riverdale
from
High.
The Archies, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, right. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, and Ripley.
Yep.
Mm.
Yep.
I think you have all earned a fine handcrafted beer.
We have. And why not use Deschutes again?
Good thinking.
It's like all kinds of codename overloading happening here.
Yes.
It is. So besides being a river and a region in Oregon, Deschutes is also the name of a very good brewery that makes one of my favorite IPAs called Fresh Squeezed.
Yes.
They also make a porter, Black Butte. Is that how you say B-U-T-T-E?
Butte.
Black Butte Porter, which it's kind of the quintessential porter. It's perfect. I've had it many times. 5.2% chocolate, coffee, not too heavy, not too light. And, you know, it's not, porters aren't traditionally what we think of as summer beers. But I was thinking, you know, if you're out at a campsite for, you know, socially distancing, making some s'mores, this would be a nice beer to have with your
good
s'mores.
Good dipping.
Dip your s'mores in some Black Butte. You're going to be happy.
Black gold Texas tea.
That's nice. Mm.
Yeah.
Black Butte, which I think is also a place.
It's also a place in Oregon.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. It's place names all
so
the way.
So meta.
Down. Meta. This was a fun one. Thank you very much. Mary Jo Foley blogs all the time. She writes about Microsoft at her website. It's on cdnet.com. It's easy to find, allaboutmicrosoft.com. And she joins us here every Wednesday. Paul Thurrott writes at Thurrott.com, T-H-U-R-R-O-T-T.com. His book, The Field Guide to Windows 10, newly updated for 2004, is available at leanpub.com. And together they make the dynamic duo of Windows Weekly every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. You can tune in and watch or listen live at twit.tv/live. There's a bunch of streams there for you. If you're doing that, chat with us at irc.twit.tv. They're watching live, too. You can also get on-demand versions of the show at our website, twit.tv/dubdub, or go to YouTube. There's a Windows Weekly channel on YouTube. You can ask your favorite, everybody but Cortana. You can say, too soon. You can say, play Windows Weekly podcast. It'll play the latest episode for you. You can listen to the live stream that way too. Best thing to do, of course, would be subscribe in your favorite podcast application, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Shoutcast, every cast there is known to me. All the casts. Just subscribe to Windows Weekly. You'll have it the minute it's available of a Wednesday afternoon. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.
Want more Twit? Check out Tech News Weekly, twit.tv/TNW. Tech News Weekly is a show where Jason Howell and I bring the latest and greatest interviews to you from the people making and breaking the tech news. twit.tv/TNW.